This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. It is Tuesday, and it is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets head out on the road for a one-gamer. With three games on the schedule this week, they'll head to Minnesota. Well, they are in Minneapolis. Take on the Wild, another divisional game. The afternoon ride goes from 3 till 6. Kevin Olszewski has the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show 6 till 7 when the puck drops with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call. And then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you. We'll kick off our extensive coverage show today. Today, right here on the Big Show, we'll delve into the Jets and the Wild. We'll talk about the Monday Nighter last night between the Chiefs and the Broncos. And it is NFL trade deadline day. And already some moves. We'll get into that. Game 6 of the World Series down in Los Angeles. We'll get into that as well. Tiger Woods is going to golf again. Said his tournament committee of one, which is him, says that he will go. So he will go. And we'll talk about that as well. NHL news and notes. Two chances for you to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Brian Munns is live in Minneapolis. He'll join us. St. Paul, to be specific. Milt Stegall on the CFL. Jason Cole. An hour of your phone calls on the Boss Pizza fan line. Jim Tilth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki. How are we, gentlemen? Happy Good. Halloween.
It will be Paul Edmonds, boys. They did a little switcheroo, those two. So.
Oh, okay.
Get an extra special treat today. A little bit of Pablo Edmundos.
Pablo Edmundos. I was going to go as Paul Edmonds for Halloween. Huh. But I don't have the...
Baby!
And it's showtime!
I don't know if you have a big enough wallet to be Paul Edmonds for Halloween. That's always the big thing, right? Maybe some sort of unofficial mayor crowd.
Big fat wallet that's never been opened up. Moths inside.
Can I ask you how much you paid for that?
Yes.
Yeah, why are you wearing alligator arms? I'm so confused, Jim.
And can I also ask you to pay for this? Yeah. Paul Edmonds is going to join us then, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets from St. Paul as well. Lots to get to. It's a big sports day here, a big sports time of the year. Loving all of it, and we'll delve right into it with the Winnipeg Jets. In Minnesota tonight, gentlemen, coming off the 7-1 win. We're going to hear a lot of audio. We'll do that at the top of the next hour, which is the Anchor Products Power Hour. But heading into tonight's game, as we sit, the Jets with a Dallas win in Vancouver last night. Dallas has played 12 games. They have 14 points. St. Louis has 21 points in 13 games. The Jets, 10 games, 5-3-2, 12 points. Heading in to take on... the Minnesota Wild, who in 9 games are 4-3-2.
Yeah, and the Wild starting to get people back. They're expecting to get Niederreiter back tonight. So the Wild start to get healthy and will probably march forward from a standing standpoint. But always great games here with Winnipeg and Minnesota. Can't wait for it. Just want to see the boys playing some solid, staying sort of this place where they're at right now, where they're just out there. They look sound up and down the ice. And getting complimented with some real solid goaltending, so let's hope it continues.
Yeah, they've been about as good as you could have maybe realistically hoped for over the past couple of games at least, and it's kind of wild, you know, looking back at who they played and who they're playing tonight. But you know, kind of getting a bit of a break, you know, going up against Pittsburgh and Columbus, and you know, now if you play like you did against the past two teams, you should be able to pick up 2 points tonight and. A pretty big game early on, too, because, I mean, you grab a win tonight against the Wild. You only play them two more times the rest of the season. You could almost kind of wrap up the season series with a victory tonight against the Central team. And for the Jets, too, I mean, push ahead and get out of this logjam that's been created outside of St. Louis, where teams 2 through 6 right now are, like, you kind of wonder how long that's going to go throughout the season. Like, if it's not just an early season blip or just a precursor of things to come, where come the final month of the season, you'll have 5 teams in the division, you know, vying for either second spot or dead last in the Central.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take advantage of this. They match up well. They beat them 4-3 earlier in the year, but as Troy was mentioning, this is a banged-up Minnesota Wild lineup. They've only played 9 games, and that is the least amount of games not only in the West, but in the East as well. They've played the fewest games in the National Hockey League, and maybe that's a good thing given their injuries. But this is a team, we all know what they can do. What are your impressions of Devan Dubnyk to start the season?
Well, he's, you know, not at his 920-ish type of self right now. He's, I believe, 905 or so. But, so he's, you know, probably looking to gain a little bit of traction. And I think this team in general, though, right, this team in general has been underperforming to some degree and decimated by injury. So overall, I'm sure that you'll see some sort of a surge here from the Wild. I'm not expecting them right now. You look at the Central and just how goofy it is, right, with five teams tied with 12 points and the Wild at the very bottom of it. Just, I refuse to believe that the Wild aren't going to surge here as they get healthier under Bruce Boudreau and everyone, all the major players that they got. This team is just too damn good, too well coached, too deep to not sort of climb for sure as a real solid threat in the top half of the Central.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to do right now with all the injuries, is just kind of stay afloat. Like, don't let the season kind of flush away down the drain and just kind of survive this stretch here, and then you go forward and maybe get a surge later in the season if you're the Minnesota Wild. And I for one of the things I'm looking for tonight is Bruce Boudreau has opted to use Matt Dumba, and I believe Jared Spurgeon is kind of his shutdown defensive pairing this year, and he kind of goes out of his way to try and heavy match that up against the other team's top line. And it's been to, I guess, middling results so far. So I wonder if the Scheifele unit gets up there against Matt Dumba at Bruce Boudreau's kind of request, if that's maybe a matchup the Jets could take advantage of tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure. The Jets lines yesterday at practice had no Mark Scheifele and no Blake Wheeler, just for maintenance day. Both those guys had played 20-plus minutes in the last 4 days, or three games over 4 days. So the Lions had Dano up there with Connor and Lowry. And Lowry continues to skate. Will not be a player, it sounds like, tonight. But he took Scheifele and Wheeler's spot. Lowry and Dano with Connor. Little Ehlers Lining were the same. Kopp, Tanev, Mathias was the same. Hendricks, Lemieux, Armia was the same. Morrissey, Trouba, Enstrom, Byfuglien, Kulikov, Myers. The extras being Pullman and Sherratt and Connor Hellebuck. Paul Maurice did not speak yesterday, which is he does once in a while. He doesn't speak every day, especially after a game or where they're going somewhere. So it doesn't look like Lowry will play tonight, but lineup stays the same in your mind?
Would be shocked if there's any change.
And Brendan Lemieux played just over 5 minutes the other night, but he still managed to get his first National Hockey League goal. He did get a 10-minute misconduct, of course. Is he sort
which,
of
which would get him a pat on the back.
Yeah, with about 5.5 minutes left. And
which his dad said only 10 minutes?
That would have been interesting.
And Brendan probably Lemieux gave and him Ryan a hug Reeves. Because he escaped Ryan Reeves. Yeah. You both get thrown off the ice and there's you keep your gloves on. That's a good deal.
That's the Lemieux special, right? Get the enforcer off the ice without taking any punches.
What were you doing, Brendan? Up until that point, I was feeling it, man. 5:38 of ice time. And the 10-minute misconduct came with about 5-6 minutes to go in the third period. Has he solidified himself a spot in just three games?
No. Hell no.
No?
No way. When Lowry – you know what I was thinking last night, guys? When Perreault and Lowry come back, right, there's going to be a couple guys that get the boot, of course, and you wonder who that's going to be. You certainly wouldn't think – like Tanev caught Mathias at this point in time – look pretty solid, so I'm going to lean towards something Lemieux and Armia-ish, maybe with Lowry and Perreault. But I just kind of wonder this: if, depending on how many games until Lowry's return, if Kopp's line keeps kicking ass at the level that it has, say over these last three games, where they're challenging as being the top possession line for the team, like if you were to take the last three games, they're right there. And I wonder, can Andrew Kopp play at a level in the middle of the ice? And you know the way coach feels about Matt Hendricks. Is there any chance in the world that Andrew Kopp could push Adam Lowry to a wing? He skates so well. Like I think he's faster than Adam Lowry. I just wonder.
I just don't think Adam Lowry is good on the wing. like I, there's no doubt that Cobb can play center or wing in the NHL at a good enough level. I just don't think Adam Lowry's game translates. He's just not quick enough, right? You look for a little bit more quickness in the stop and start and that sort of thing. You wonder how the lines are going to go when Lowry comes back. If that entire third line just becomes your fourth line, and then you have Lowry, Perreault, and...
And then Hendricks gets...
I just don't know if there's enough room for... I know Maurice loves him.
It would be shocking to see Lowry come back and Paul Maurice put him on the fourth line, though. Like that, wouldn't that?
Like to put Adam Lowry there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 That would be... I don't
or
see
you're
a
saying
way.
Kopp would shift
that
down
would
to the fourth
line. That would shock you guys.
For Adam
I just
Lowry
think
to
that's
be on
the eventual move.
But not for Andrew Kopp. Like it would be for someone.
Oh yeah,
Roslovic.
No,
like a Roslovic next year. I would assume, right? Like something like that, or if they, you know, randomly go out there and trade for a third line centerman. But
so those two guys healthy. You got Lowry, like Perreault on the left side, Lowry in the middle, and
maybe Armia,
yeah.
And then you would have Kopp, Mathias, Tanev. Mm-hmm. Like just slot that line down a peg, which is probably not probably
it's
that
really
is what
they
should be, right?
Yeah.
That should be your fourth line, and you've got a pretty. I don't know. You got a pretty nice set of forwards there. Once that becomes the case, I just don't know. I just don't think Matt Hendricks beats out the guys in front of him at that point because you're not taking. I mean, he loves Tanev on the wing. He loves Sean Mathias. I just don't see anybody else coming in there to that Matt Hendricks can overcome. And the same with Brendan Lemieux, who's probably going to go back down to the minors despite playing pretty decently so far.
Well, that's why I'm asking because, like, I think. Poolman's clearly going down. He needs to start playing. And Lemieux is the guy that can go down. And I don't know what they think of Dano. Well, I know what they think of him. He's in and out of the lineup all the time. It's interesting because I think Lemieux has outperformed some of those guys down there. And I know it's only been a couple games.
Down
and
where?
It wouldn't, well, down around the bottom. Bottom line, and well, he's outperformed Dano in my mind.
Well, Dano's not in though, right?
No, but you have to make room. So my point is, what do you do with Dano if you want to keep Lemieux? Like Lemieux's played better than Dano.
Well, if Lemieux's not playing, you're not just carrying him, right? And we know damn well that they're going to protect an asset, and if a guy can go down without having to mess with waivers, he's the one going.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, is it time to? Like, we always talk about what this team has done historically. I don't think it's the same team this year. And I don't think they're going to do the same things this year. So that's why I'm wondering if, like, Lemieux is literally outplaying Marco Dano, and Dano can't stay in the lineup, and it comes time to move two guys, those are the guys that can go down. But
you lose Dano on waivers, though. Like, to me, if you're ever going to test waivers with Dano, you have to trade him. You can't just throw him out. There's no way in the world he survives waivers.
Well, then that's what I'm wondering, maybe Dano and Michael Hutchinson for whatever you want, whatever you need.
Now we know that teams are calling, inquiring about Hutchinson, so maybe something like that ends up transpiring.
Yeah, I just don't see the reason why you would just put Dano on waivers, like almost just kind of blindly, right?
Yeah.
Like if you could put Lemieux there, and if it comes down to you think Lemieux's outperformed Dano, but they're both going to be scratches, then it's pretty obvious who the guy you want getting playing time is, and that's Brendan Lemieux.
And this is why I bring this up, because we're literally talking about sending players that are playing better than other players down. And I don't think they've ever been in that spot before. When they've sent players down or they've waived them, it's because they were keeping the better players. And I'm not saying better talent-wise, whatever, judge how you will, but if you have a guy that's literally outplaying another guy... Is this organization at the point where they start making different moves than they historically have?
I think you always protect assets. If you're going to have a guy scratched, like a healthy scratch sort of thing, you protect your assets. You can call Lemieux up and down as needed, right? You just protect your assets.
So you keep Dano and healthy scratch him and move forward. It will be interesting, of course, and the way it shapes up when Adam Lowry, who is considered, I believe, day-to-day now, the way he's skating – and Matthew Perreault is still about 2 weeks away. It was about 2 weeks on the weekend from his injury that was expected to be 4 weeks. Industrial Metals game day. We'll have much more on this to come. We'll hear some audio from the Jets at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll get into the Monday Nighter last night and Blue Bomber talk coming up. No Matt Nichols this weekend. It's the Big Show on TSN 1290 and Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day from the Royal Sports Studio at TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 and Gypsum Drywall Interiors present Caring for Kids. Support the staff and services of the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba today. Text KIDS to 1290-90. Standard message rates may apply. Every time you do, Gypsum Drywall Interiors will donate $1 to the Children's Hospital, up to $1,000. Your actions can help the Children's Hospital keep caring for kids across Manitoba, kids like Michaela, who is currently battling cancer. For more on Caring for Kids, visit TSN1290.ca. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on the Big Show. Live from the Royal Sports Studio at TSN1290, Jim, Troy, and Brandon. Monday Night Football last night, gentlemen. And the Kansas City Chiefs, with a 29-19 victory over the Denver Broncos, moved to 6-2 to tie two other teams with the top record in the National Football League. But what stood out to me is just how bad Trevor Siemian was and the Broncos' offense.
Yeah, just it would mess it like a sloppy game with all kinds of turnovers, right? And this isn't early on here. It's a problem for Denver with Siemian right now. There's been a fair amount of struggle in the last little bit with their offense. So not a whole lot going on, all kinds of turnovers. Neither quarterback was very effective. Funny because you see Simeon's QBR for the game was 5.8 and Alex Smith was at 39.5. So it was in no way whatsoever an impressive offensive night for either team here. And Kansas City ends up escaping with a win. And like Brandon said, basically capturing it perfectly. It was gift-wrapped with turnovers.
Yeah, for Denver to keep it within 10 that's a miraculous performance by the defense. And you're watching the Denver Broncos waste their Super Bowl chances because they wouldn't go out and address the quarterback situation. It's that simple. Especially in the NFL this year, no teams really stood apart from the others so far. Like KC looked like they were in the AFC early on, but they've kind of fallen back. Pittsburgh's been good. The Patriots, maybe, teams didn't take advantage of them early on and bump that record down to what it could have been. But if you're Denver and you make a trade for any kind of half-decent quarterback, I mean, you're winning that game last night, and you're probably looking at turning a couple of your losses into wins this season. So you're just kind of surprised that the Broncos were content with, going with the same thing that kind of torpedoed their chances last year.
Well, and a team that's not is the Niners. They go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo from the New England Patriots for a second-round pick in 2018, which I thought maybe they might be able to get a first-round for him, but clearly not. Addressing the quarterback issue and watching that defense yesterday, like they kept Kareem Hunt in check. They kept most of the receivers in check. As you said, Troy West, Alex Smith did not have a good game, but it's the quarterback play. They could run the ball against Kansas City. They just couldn't get good quarterback play. And I immediately thought of our conversation about Dan LeFever when Siemian threw that ball back over the field across the middle and got picked off when they were driving. It's the exact same pass. And I thought, well, all right, Dan.
They're doing it at the NFL level. It can happen in the CFL level once in a while.
I'll give you a pass because that's the thing we all learn in junior high to never, ever do. And yet even Siemian tries to do it as well, and it's really holding the Broncos back if they want to take that next step. The defense looked good. They could run the ball yesterday, just the quarterback. And it's going to be an interesting trade deadline. Jason Cole will talk about with us later, but it's going to be an interesting trade deadline, I think, for teams. And I heard Adam Schefter on Mike and Mike prior to us coming to the air, and he said you have a ton of teams that are awful and no chance, but you have even more teams that aren't great and are just hovering around with a chance, and you have a ton of young general managers. And he said, I put that all together and I expect a lot of activity today on trade deadline day in the NFL because of the young GMs who are in charge of teams that, you wouldn't call a Super Bowl contender right now, but you would call in the hunt for playoffs. And he thinks that mixture is going to cause a lot of trading. The Seahawks went out and got an O-lineman. We'll talk about all that with Cole, but it'll be interesting.
Might be the biggest deal, though, right? And that whole thing,
negotiating
since the spring and nothing. And they're saying that they were they started conversations with San Francisco yesterday morning, and they're able to come to that sort of a deal. And then it cuts Hoyer loose, who will eventually end up back in New England and that sort of thing. So yeah, a lot of people saying, "Oh, what's New England doing? What are they doing? Putting all that faith now on Tom Brady?" Or you know, there's no quarterback, no other horses in the barn in New England for quarterbacks. Well, Garoppolo is an upcoming free agent, and if you've been negotiating since the spring and can't get anything done, he's gonna walk. So you're kind of forced to do something at this point in time.
You know, you're not gonna franchise tag him either, which was one of their other options. But look, Tom Brady, who has, you know, completely normally found the fountain of youth, right? Like, but we just, hey, look, 40-year-olds nowadays, they just get faster, stronger.
Eating kale and blueberries, yeah.
And I just picture Kirk Cousins sitting at home going, what? Now where am I going to go?
Yeah.
What?
Well, there's still plenty of places, Kirk.
Yeah, plenty. Jacksonville's going to be interesting come quarterback next year. We'll talk more NFL with Jason Cole at 8:30. Into the Bombers next. They will not have Matt Nichols this weekend. We'll talk about that and more on The Big Show, TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to be a part of the iHeartRadio network. Download the iHeartRadio app and listen to us on all your favorite devices, or go to the Perfect Four section and choose from hundreds of channels to suit any mood or music taste. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app and get streaming. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on The Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7 o'clock with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns. Edmonds will join us in an hour's time here on The Big Show on TSN 1290. Let's get into CFL Week 18 or end of the regular season. A lot on the line, which, I mean, we sort of touched on this yesterday, guys, but like a month ago, we didn't think anything would be on the line. How things have changed.
Well, I don't know about that. Like in the West, things have every week been on the line, right?
Well, I don't know. I thought the Bombers would solidify second place by now. I thought they'd have a home playoff date. I didn't see much changing. I thought the standings were going to be now literally like everything in the West standings-wise is up for grabs, so to speak.
Well, it's second, third, fourth, yeah, up for grabs right now.
And no Matt Nichols came out yesterday from the Bombers. Mike O'Shea on his weekly coaches show said that he will not go. And then Ed Tate, of course, from BlueBombers.com. Putting out the story, he's out for the final regular season game. Quote from the story with Ed Tate, "We've got one more game to play, but we're in the playoffs, and we'd like Matt back for that."
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to look like an exhibition game out there. I don't know if Bond and Hardwick, where those guys are at. Andrew Harris, I would be very surprised to see out there.
He's going to go. The other quote is that Andrew Harris, sorry, I'll just get that for you, that they expect him to be ready to go, be ready to go.
And the sad thing is, though, even with Andrew Harris there, from what we've seen so far from either Dom Davis or Dan Lefevre up against the premier defense in the CFL, a team that is on a two-game losing streak right now in the Calgary Stampeders, and a team that is angry for this final game, there's no way in the world Calgary's going in to win this game. You don't want to, when you're finishing first in a division, go into your bye on a three-game losing streak. And Dave Dickinson looked very irritated on the sideline last week. This is going to be, you know, the possibility of sauntering into Calgary on the final week when they had everything sewed up and it was just going to be, you know, they were going to have something half-assed and you could go and grab a win, that ain't going to develop. It will be an epic. I don't know what Calgary's going to be favored by, but we know damn well that the ball's not going to be moving a whole lot on offense with Davis or Lefevre from everything we've seen. And you're going into the Bombers have got to be 10-plus point dogs here. And I would just be shocked if they could pull off a victory in this game here. And then, of course, you got a very wildly inspired Edmonton team up against Saskatchewan, who's playing well, but Edmonton, they could go and win and secure that home playoff date. Saskatchewan can't do that, right? So the best Saskatchewan can do is finish third. So when you're looking, like, organizationally, all of the Rough Riders will want to lose that game from an organizational standpoint. That's not the case with coaches and players and everything. They're going to try and win. But really, if they win, all they do is get a game on the road in the West. If you lose, you go to a game on the road in the East. And we all know which is going to be an easier road. So it's some bizarre situations here. But you know what, boys? Expect Edmonton to have a home playoff game after this weekend. And unfortunately for the Bombers, I mean, you miss out on a huge payday with a missed opportunity for a home playoff game. And you got to look back. You know, I'm not going to look back at that BC game where they got it handed to them and the injuries that all piled up there. You got to go back to the Medlock 39-yard missed field goal. Ultimately, that's why they're out of the playoffs, or they won't have that home playoff game.
Or the 50-yarder missed at the end of the BC game in like week two.
Well, no, you can't go that far back. You had a situation where they
knew
that's
another win if he pulls that off.
They knew they needed a win recently to secure and secure that home playoff game, and that game was very relevant to that.
Yeah, I'll be honest, boys. I don't know if this game's going to be competitive by the time the third quarter kicks off. I really don't. And at that point, do you even want to get Andrew Harris into this game against a Calgary defense that is as ferocious as they come?
I'm shocked to hear he's going to play.
You're talking about Saturday's game to Friday is only 6 days.
Yep.
And he took a hell of a hit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Even if Friday's a playoff game, and you're a fan and you're watching that, do you feel good about seeing Andrew Harris run out onto the field? I don't know. He might say he's healthier. He might say he's good to go. Might be more apt. But I if I'm Mike O'Shea, I hold him out of this game too. I have Nichols and Harris out. I just can't. It's too much risk for me. It's too much risk in a game that you are, as Troy said, highly, highly unlikely. Never mind to win, but to keep it within two scores by the fourth quarter, which would kind of, I think, be a realistic best case scenario if it's Lefevre or Dom Davis in the lineup. I don't know. To me, it's just not worth the risk, and it just leaves me feeling a bit queasy, to be honest.
Well, and here's the debate, gentlemen, is, and it's more heightened to me in the CFL than any other sport, is you literally need that money. Like, you need that home playoff date. And you want to be at home to win the game. You have a better advantage. It's the playoffs. But it's a real debate. And I heard Don Landry on the afternoon ride here on TSN 1290, the longtime CFL reporter, discussing it with Huss and Rick Ralph, and they were literally saying that. Like, he basically said, let's be honest, this is pro sports. There's a front office that's saying, can he go? Can we get him in there? Can he play? And they've already said no with Matt Nichols. But everybody else who's banged up, and everybody else, including Andrew Harris, it's like, we need this game at home. And then the football operations side goes, well, if we want to win a playoff game, if we want to do this and we want to go far, this is the best case scenario, that who plays and who doesn't. And it's a debate. Like, it's a chat on, and do you think it goes that far? Like, with...
No, I don't think it's a debate at all. You're putting it, without knowing the details, and here's the deal, man. You got a guy like Andrew Harris, probably the toughest son of a biscuit that anyone's ever come across, or equal to whoever we've ever come across. And he wants to play, right? The players, 95% of players I've ever been around are going to want to play in situations like that and will look you dead in the eye and lie to you if need be. But the situation here is if he gets rocked again, like, it is way more critical that he is ready to go in the playoff game, whether it's a home or away game. So when you're talking 6 days, like, the old thought, remember, this has changed a little bit since the Sid Crosby thing, right? That whole coming back 4 or 5 days after the organization announced he had a concussion to play, right? You're supposed to wait 7 days until there's no symptoms. Not very long ago, that was sort of the understanding. And now we're trying to be convinced by the medical field or whoever else it is out there, when everything seems sort of up in the air and nothing's concrete at this point in time, that something's changed about that old understanding where you don't need that many days here. Andrew Harris got freaking rocked. Like, it wasn't a little, that's the toughest son of a gun that you've ever laid eyes on, and he needed help getting up and standing up. It's shocking to me that he's playing.
And I think a lot of the times, organizations in sports aren't real with themselves. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to put your star player at risk of re-injury to try and get an extra little bit of moolah? Or do you want to try and go out there and maybe maybe go on a bit of a playoff run. And yeah, it would be on the road for sure, but...
And especially if you'd, like, what would cause me to... The second you lose Matt Nichols, then you're going into Calgary, like...
Well,
you,
yeah,
you
like,
got a legitimate chance with your starting quarterback. Without him, that is greatly diminished. So now you're sort of pushing it for that much less of a or unlikely of a reward.
You know? That's what I was going at, right? Like, look at the situation and be realistic with yourselves. If Matt Nichols is playing in that game and he's 100%, then yeah, if you think Harris is good to go and he passes all the protocol, then you probably go in there and think, you know what, we can go into Calgary and beat Calgary with our quarterback, with maybe the MOP candidate. But can anybody honestly look at this game with either Lefevre or Davis starting and look anybody in the eye and say the Bombers can legitimately win this football game? I honestly just don't see a way that can happen. Like the amount of circumstances that would have to go their way, It's way, way too much, right? The Bombers couldn't move the ball against BC. They couldn't stop the Lions' offense. And now you're going to have to roll into Calgary, a place they haven't won in, what has it been, 15 years, something like that, with your backup quarterback or backup quarterbacks who have struggled? It's just not worth it to me. I'm looking at winning a playoff game. And that, to me, is more important in the evolution of our franchise than kind of putting risk towards the wind here and just going for a Hail Mary against the Stampeders.
We'll get it's an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll get back into the Jets in the Wild. Right now we're talking about the Bombers on the Big Show, TSN 1290, 44 minutes past the hour. So we know Nichols won't go, regardless of everybody else. Who do you start? Is it Dom Davis or is it Dan Lefevre in your mind?
Well, I've made it clear as to who I think would give you a better chance. It's a fair question at this point in time. I would suspect that they're going to start Dom Davis. That is their number two guy, and they're hoping maybe with more time that he can go in here. But I, you know, don't be surprised whatsoever if there's some level of struggle that they're going to be desperate to try and find one of those two guys to catch traction. So if Davis is struggling, they'll go to Lefevre, and maybe they go back and forth 3-4 times. I don't know. But if Davis is their number two guy, Davis will be starting.
I think Lefevre had a chance to be the starter this week, but you play like he did against BC in the second half, and I think you just go back to the guy that you predetermined as your number two. And you look at this, and you probably don't say this to Dom Davis, but I'm sure he's well aware of it anyways. You get the full week to start and prepare. There's no excuses for you going into Calgary. Show us you're a CFL quarterback. Like he's playing. If he gets the start, he's playing for his job. It's a tough environment and a tough team, but that's the reality of the situation. If you go into Calgary and he performs well, then the Bombers have, I think, reason to keep him around for next year. But if we saw what we did last week, then it's probably time to cut ties with him.
And why I think you're going to see the same is you see a guy there that doesn't look like he's scanning the field well. So I think that's why. And I think it's important to remember that up to this point in time, that Lefevre would have been the third string guy. So he's thrown all scout team. He's not even practicing with the first team offense. This will be the first week that he's out there with the first team offense and taken any reps whatsoever with the offense. So that's why his week could be considerably different as well.
And Don Davis looked to me like he scouted the field 78 times on every play because he just got sacked. Like he didn't get out. He didn't get rid of the ball. You know, I lean towards Dan Lefevre, and I don't know because I haven't seen Dom Davis practice. Even when I was at practice, I didn't see him practice, and I haven't seen him play other than that game. But I just remember Lefevre coming in here with the Argos, wasn't it, last year, through 300 yards and a couple TDs. And
a lot of picks, too, though.
A lot of picks, yeah. It'll be interesting, but there will be no Matt Nichols. Only 2 days of practice for the Bombers. They get set to go to Calgary to take on the Stampeders on Friday night. And as we said, no Matt Nichols for the Bombers this weekend. They said Andrew Harris, quote unquote, should be good to go. We'll continue to monitor that and have more on it as we go forward. We'll take a break here on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. We're going to get into the World Series. We'll see if we have time to talk Tiger Woods as well. And then, of course, lots of Jets, as the Jets are in Minnesota to take on the Wild tonight at 7 on TSN 1290. This is the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight on TSN 1290, live from St. Paul, Minnesota at 7 o'clock. Full pre- and post-game coverage as well. Jim Tulp, Troy Wester, Brandon Rewicki with you this morning. We'll get into the Jets and the Wild in our next segment at the top of the hour in the Anchor Products Power Hour. Tiger Woods is set to make his return. Following 9 months away from competitive golf, the Hero World Challenge, November 30th to December 3rd at the Albany in Bahamas. That's his tournament, right? His charity thing that he puts on. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Thomas, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Matt Kuchar, Justin Rose. It goes on and on. Tiger Woods back at competitive golf 9 months later.
Yeah, like the last time he came back after the break and the time before that, right, only to be injured again. 4 back surgeries now, right? A little bit older, coming back. You say competitive golf. We can only hope and pray it's competitive and long-lasting. And I'll at this point in time, I'll believe it when I see it. I remember watching, there was a video of a stinger that he hit. I think it was last week, and he poked it out there, and it was one of those low, right down to the ground punches that you'd see him hit a la British Open days and stuff like that, and he spun the club like it was magic for sure, right? Made everyone's heart glow that's a fan of Tiger. But at this point in time, there's been so many comebacks after surgeries that I'm going to have to – I can't emotionally invest in it. I've been very excited every time it's happened prior to this, but this time I'm just going to have to let it happen and stay detached from it.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm tired of holding back.
He's winning.
And the best part is, like, when you're delusional like me, you can't even make an argument that will sway me, because, you know, I saw the stinger. He hits the stinger. He's wearing Sunday red, and there's a club twirl. He's back. Like, it's that simple. And I don't know. I just can't quit Tiger. I can't quit you. I can't quit. I want to, but I just can't quit Tiger. So I'm just going to go all in.
I can't quit you! By the way, it's interesting that you guys dressed as the two guys from Brokeback Mountain for Halloween today.
Nothing wrong with that.
Congratulations. Looks good, too. I got a cowboy outfit at home, but I'm from Alberta. So does he win again? That's always the question. And when I'm talking major...
No chance of me. I said years ago when we first started the show that he was done with the major, that whole bulletproof thing. Now, there's just too many, to me, there's too many things to overcome. You know, I would love for him to show me differently, but too much young talent, too many other guys. He's older, he's over 40 now, right? And off the surgery, there's too many things that he needs to overcome at this point in time.
Now, I will try and paint a scenario that exists where he could possibly win. And I think it's important to remember, too, that, you know, some of the major champion winners in the past just couple of years, right? Like Sergio breaks through, and I think he's right around 40. You had Jimmy Walker win the PGA 2 years ago, who was in his late 30s and doesn't have an ounce of talent that Tiger has on his best day. And this was kind of interesting, too. In the mid-2000s, Tiger's scoring record, his scoring per round, was a full stroke and a half lower than what Jordan Spieth's career best is right now, in kind of, I don't know if you want to call it his prime, but, you know, in the midst of his
just what? Could you please pass
dominance.
Me the Kool-Aid right now?
Yeah, just hold on a sec. but so, like, if Tiger is, he doesn't have to go back to the mid-2000s of himself, right? But if he can just be healthy and play and compete, to me, there's no reason that...
There's one big reason you haven't mentioned, brother. Right now, you're talking about all physical attributes. There's also something inside the man that has been shattered, torn apart, patched back together, shattered again. Like the invincibility, the 10-foot bulletproof thing that existed inside the man that made Tiger, Tiger, that impenetrable force inside of him that was just the most outrageous level of confidence and self-assuredness that we had ever witnessed in sports history is long gone. And now on Sundays, you see a man fall apart where before it would never happen. The weakest part of Tiger, brother, is not his bones, blood, and skin. It is something inside the man's soul at this point in time from a confidence standpoint.
And I'll respond to that with hashtag fake news. That's not Like, just no. You're just wrong. I'm delusional. You're wrong. It's that simple.
I think he can win another major.
I just want to, like, just give me one Sunday where he's close.
Please.
And it would be at Augusta. Like, I just, there's no way. U.S. Open, absolutely zero chance. PGA, nah. British, maybe. But it would be at Augusta where he gets that. And I just want a Sunday, like, Sunday red with him sniffing around the lead. And I kind of wonder if he gets that. Like, if Tiger gets that, if that's good enough for him.
If he was ever there, remember how no one would ever wear red? There'll be Patrick Reed, whoever else is there with him.
Oh, yeah.
There'll be four guys out there in red going, let's go, Tiger.
He'll eat Patrick Reed alive. Yeah, come here. Patrick Reed, it was zero majors to his credit.
You remember
what
Sunday is, Tiger? Come on, join us on the box. It's over here. They'll be going at him hardcore, man.
It'll be interesting. It's at the end of November in the Bahamas. And, of course, all golf eyes and probably some other ones will be glued to it. Industrial Metals. Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll talk about that next and touch on the World Series as well on the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets, a game day. The afternoon ride with Hustler and Rick Ralph from 3 till 6. The Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6 with Kevin Olszewski and friends. Puck drop between the Jets and the Wild from St. Paul, Minnesota, with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call at 7. And then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you. And the Boss Pizza fan line will be open on the postgame show. It'll be open at 9 here on the Big Show on TSN 1290. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki. Paul Edmonds is going to join us live in Minneapolis at the bottom of this hour. NHL news and notes still to come. And, of course, your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Before we delve back into this Jets Wild game, gentlemen, it is Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles with Justin Verlander on the hill against Rich Hill. After that epic battle in extra innings in Game 5, put the Astros up 3-2. The next two are in L.A. If a Game 7 is necessary, who do you have tonight in Game 6?
How can anybody out there who's hoping the Dodgers pull this off really have a whole pile of faith when Verlander's up on the hill against Hill?
You know how is
probably
how,
the same amount of faith they had in Kershaw in Game 5.
It's exactly how I felt about
Kershaw.
Well, no, because Kershaw
got Keuchel.
Yeah, but Keuchel, me anyways, I mean, I know he's a former Cy Young winner and stuff. I thought he did really good in the first game of this series. But he's not consistent enough. And it's Kershaw. Like, even though he played and pitched really well, he was still losing to Kershaw when they both left the game. So I didn't have much faith in Game 5 when it came to the starters.
So, well, you've got a lot more tonight.
I do, yes.
Yes, so which is my point here, precisely, that if you're a Dodgers fan, you are grasping for straws for any level or shred of confidence whatsoever going into this game.
Yeah, like you really want, I mean, you're basically hoping the day off revitalizes your entire bullpen and that Rich Hill can give you 5 or 6, right? Like, that's the Dodgers' key to victory here, but I don't know how you can also look at this game and look at the series and go, yeah, this is what's going to happen in Game 6.
Predictably. Well, just what you can predict is there's going to be a few home runs hit tonight, right?
Fair enough.
We've literally seen in this World Series the shortest World Series game in Game 1 that was 2 hours and like 18 minutes, and the longest World Series game, which was like over 5 hours. It's what to expect. What a great series it's been, though. I'm going to go with the Astros, but it would not surprise me if the Dodgers force a Game 7. And, hey, what a Game 7 it would be, even if they do. World Series Game 6 tonight from Los Angeles. I'll have one eye on that as I'm watching the Jets game. Hopefully the Jets game doesn't go to overtime and move on from there. Let's get into the Jets and the Minnesota Wild. Gentlemen, we touched on it as we started the day today on the Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, on how these two teams match up and where they're at sort of at this point of the season. Brian Little spoke to the media yesterday, and he was asked if the key is to continue the momentum from the 7-1 win over Pittsburgh into Minnesota tonight.
You almost treat it as a loss and kind of hit the reset button. Games like that, I know, don't happen very often, and it's one of those games where a lot of good things were going in the back of the net, and we're getting a lot of bounces too. So we just go in ready to play, expect a tough game and a tight game tomorrow, and kind of put the one from last night behind us.
Treat it as a loss.
Well, sure, you can try and convince yourself of that, but I understand totally what he's saying there. Any of us would, I think, where you jump into that 5-0, and we're talking yesterday, it wasn't really a, you look back and evaluate that game, right? Even Paul Maurice said after it's 5-0 in the first period, that's about, the game's done, and he's just kind of on cruise control, and everything's different from that point forward. Like, nothing's normal from that point forward, and so they just pull off sort of a miracle first period there, and now you got to readjust and get ready for what's probably going to be a heck of a battle tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, these guys are pros. I don't know if they need to. And I don't even know, like, what does it even mean to carry momentum into, you know, a game against Pittsburgh into a game against Minnesota when it's completely different teams and completely different styles of game as well, right? So I just think the Jets need to focus on themselves and play how they've played the past 4 or 5 games. And it hasn't been perfect hockey, but they don't need to necessarily play perfect hockey right now to get wins when your goaltenders are coming out there and
putting
giving
the
you 9:30 and 9:40.
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Minnesota's coming off 2 wins, including a 2-1 victory on Saturday over Pittsburgh. Brian Little was also asked about their games against their rival in the Central Division, the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, well, hopefully the game last night gives us some confidence, at least offensively. Before that, we're kind of playing a few one-goal games, so it's been pretty tough to get offense, and hopefully that kick-started a bit last night. And yeah, I mean, I don't expect us to go out and score 7 goals, but we're a confident group right now, and we're going to go in and expect a good game.
What do you think of the line of Brian Little centering Nick Ehlers and Patrick Laine? Ehlers, of course, with 8 points, 6 goals in 10 games. Little has 5 points and 1 goal in 10 games. And Mr. Patrick Laine has 6 points, 4 goals in 10 games.
It's okay. We know it's not the best line. We know it's not the best that Ehlers and Laine could be. Scheifele would be that much more of an oomph for those couple of young fellas. So, you know, it's a bit of a tough situation for Paul Maurice to massage or manage those two lines, right? Because I would love to see, just for a little bit even, shifting those two centers there, to have Connor with Little and Wheeler and Ehlers. Like, it just seems like we're being held back from Ehlers and Laine with Scheifele to some degree. But the one thing I just want to touch on real quick, everyone, don't sleep on the Minnesota Wild for scoring, right? Like, they're still ahead of the Jets in goals per game. They're sitting ninth in the NHL. And even with all of the catastrophes up front with injuries and such, the Minnesota Wild are still pouring them into the net.
Yeah, and they'll feast on the neutral zone turnovers too. If the Jets have any sort of sloppiness to the game tonight, it's going to be a lot of 3-on-2, 2-on-1s the other way, which is what Bruce Boudreau teams do the best. I think they've been okay. Like, I don't think you can look at it as a negative. A lot of people are kind of down on Patrick Laine's game this year, but I think he's been, I don't want to say remarkably better, but a lot more well-rounded. And he's shooting the puck a lot more. You know, there was a lot of games last year where you'd see 1 shot, 2 shot, no shot. But he's up at around 3 shots per game right now, and that's a real promising sign for the Jets, because he's a guy that can shoot 16 or 17% over the course of a season, and if he's getting 3 shots a game, those goal totals eventually are going to start pounding the back of the net. And we know with snipers, it's 4 or 5 games of quiet, and then nine goals in seven games. You know, some sort of like an Ovechkin-ish start to the season, right? Like that's what Patrick Laine is going to be, and he's going to have an outburst sooner or later, and we're going to be looking back and thinking, well, you know, maybe that start wasn't so bad to the season. But I do think at some point you have to look at putting Patrick Laine with Mark Scheifele, and I don't know if that involves moving Wheeler with Little. But I think that Mark Scheifele does do a better job of finding Laine in those scoring areas, and it's something that he looks for. I don't know if Brian Little is as adept as Scheifele is at finding Laine.
And that's why I bring it up, because I've heard from some Jets fans, too, since the start of the season, like, where's Patrick Laine and the turnover in overtime, and then, like, against Pittsburgh, all the scoring that was involved, and they're like, you know, and it's not negative. It's just like you get a lot of tweets. I'm sure you guys do too. Like, what are your thoughts on Patrick Laine? They just expected more throughout the first 10 games, I guess, because we all sat here and thought, you know, he's going to hit 40. Can he hit 50? How many goals is he going to get? It's 10 games into the season, nothing to panic about. And I think this team is going to score a lot more than we've seen in the first 10 games, even with the 7-1 victory. But the questions are there, like, because the expectations have been set for this guy to do even more than he did last year, even though he's only 19.
What do you mean you think they're going to score more? Like,
I think they're going to score more. I think this team overall is going to score more.
Well, they're 13th right now in the NHL in goals for game, and they've got, you know, basically two lines. So you go up against a decent team, and like, I don't know how much more we're expecting them. They were 7th last year, right, in scoring, 13th this year. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between what they're doing last year and this.
Well, you take out that 7-1 victory, and I don't know where that puts them.
It puts them, I think, when you got two lines that teams have to concern themselves with, that you go up against solid teams, and it can make life a little bit difficult.
Yeah, I just think they have more, like, there's going to be more offense coming from this team.
It would help too if the power play started rolling, right? Like, that's, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, you have two lines offensively, 5-on-5, which is true, but with the amount of talent they have on the power play, it should be a lot higher than it is.
They have on the two power play lines, yeah, if they were to put their talent on one freaking line, that might help.
Yeah, it might. I don't think they force feed Laine enough on the power play either. When you have a weapon like that, it should, like, I don't know, guys. You have one of the three best shots in the game, five best shots in the game, and how often do we see the Jets really kind of force feed Laine that one-timer? It just doesn't feel like it's enough, right? Like, Byfuglien is very content to shoot from the top of the point there in the middle of the ice. I would just like to see them working more over to the other side. Give the kid a couple rips, and you'll be surprised what happens. Or not.
How about putting your best playmaker on your top power play line? How about that notion? How in the hell doesn't that happen? How don't you have your best freaking playmaker on your top freaking power play line? Someone please talk to me like I'm 5 years old and explain that to me?
They're trying to get both units and
that
spread the scoring
out. Stupid, JT. It is stupid. The top power plays in the NHL do not spread out their freaking talent. What sense does that make? Have one power play unit that goes out there and freaking scores instead of having two that can sort of half-ass get it done. That approach is mind-blowing to me. Drives me nuts, obviously.
Clearly. <Yeah. laughs> What do you think of it?
Well, yeah, it's something every team does. And it just, I agree. I want my five best power play guys out there for 90 seconds. And then I worry about the other 30. Like, if they don't score in 90 seconds and the second unit gets the odd one every once in a while, then that's fine and dandy. But I'm making sure 90 seconds is hell for the opposition. And you know what? I don't even want it to go that far. I honestly don't even want to think of how to make the second unit better, right? Like, the focus should be the first unit, not unit number two.
Second unit, you got an extra guy on the ice that they can make hay, great. But when this is a three-pronged thing. You got your best zone entry guy by mile in Nikolaj Ehlers. You have your best playmaker by a considerable margin in the offensive zone in Nikolaj Ehlers. And then you have the inherent chemistry that exists between Laine and Ehlers. You're keeping all that away from your top power play line. That's just stupid.
Well, I mean, it's like Brandon said, it's what a lot of the teams in the league do.
No, he's saying they load up their top power play.
Well, like I'm looking at power plays here. The Flames have Goudreau, Monahan, and Troy Brouwer. Edmonton Oilers have Patrick Maroon, Mark Letestu, and Drake Caljulia. Like, that's not loading up your top. Like,
I don't.
Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is on the second one. Leon Draisaitl is on the second one. In Calgary,
well, Draisaitl's been hurt though, so that's why they rejigged the line. And they look, Letestu scored. How many power play goals did
Letestu
have
their guy.
Year?
He's their. He's the guy in line A
yeah,
spot.
He's a fourth liner on the power play.
It doesn't matter. He's their kill shot. He's their guy.
That's not the best power play they could put out there, though. That's not a loading up a number one unit.
Jim, he is
I know
their
who
primary
is.
Point of focus on that power play.
Yeah,
so how can you say he's not their best option?
You have him on the first power play over Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Leon Draisaitl.
I'm pretty sure Draisaitl's on the first power play.
He's
unit,
on though. The point on the second power play. He plays the point. So I'm not disagreeing that Ehlers shouldn't be on there. And I can't, you know, I don't know how that goes over in the room when Kyle Connor's given it or when Nick Petan was here. It's like Nick Petan's on the first power play. Nick Ehlers has to be a pretty good teammate to go, okay. But I'm just saying, like, other NHL teams do it.
Well, the Penguins don't do it. The Capitals don't do it. Right? I can give you plenty of lists of guys, Jim, that have their best guys out there. Well, and especially with such an impactful guy. This is like you can there's talent to spread around or to sprinkle on that second team power play. But he's your best zone entry guy, he's your best playmaker, and he's got fantastic inherent chemistry with the guy that you want to focus on getting the freaking puck to.
Sorry, it just you're getting so angry about it.
It makes zero sense. It's like what are you trying to prove? Keeping them off the top power play.
They're just trying to spread it out. I don't know if
they're
trying to prove
something. Use different dudes. Those three keys makes no sense.
And they're spreading it out to 14.7%. I don't know. I spread it out. I worry about spreading it out when the Jets are operating at 20%+. Like right now, you need to get to 20 before you can think about how to fix your second unit to me.
And I think, like, the Penguins, they can spread it out.
But it would be like the Penguins putting Phil Kessel in the second unit, right? Like, that's kind of the argument you're trying to...
Well, I think teams like the Penguins and the Capitals are deep enough that, you know, I know their top players are on the top one, but it's because, like, their third line is a legitimate second line for most teams.
That has nothing to do with the second power play. You got Russ Gensel, Sheary, Matta, and Trotman, I think, on the second power play unit for Pittsburgh. The Jets can have a decent second power play. Like, you still got the man advantage for Pete's sake. It's not like you're going out there neutered or anything like that. But it just there's no argument that can be made that is rational and makes sense that Nikolaj Ehlers shouldn't be on that first team power play.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just when we talk about it, I'm saying it's like a lot of teams do the same thing. And if you're at, and you were asking why, I'm saying well, obviously they're trying to spread it out. But I agree. Like I remember the game when Nick Petan was given first power play time, and good for him because you want to get him going. But I thought, how does that go over in the room with Nick Ehlers? It's interesting. This is Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. We'll talk more Jets with Edmonds. We'll ask him about that at the bottom of the hour as he joins us live from Minneapolis. But up next, it's your first chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
.780-1290 in order for you to get in and be our 12th qualifier as TSN 1290 and RedTech.ca present Hockey Nights in Vegas. We're sending five lucky listeners and their guests to Las Vegas this November, where they'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Vegas Golden Knights Friday, November 10th at the T-Mobile Arena. We'll supply return airfare to and from Las Vegas, free parking at the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly. Two hockey tickets for the Jets and the Golden Knights, again, on the 10th of November. Four nights accommodations right on the Strip and $1,290 in cash to help cover a few extras during your stay. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m., 8:15 a.m. right here on The Big Show, 12:15 p.m. on the Don Vito Roundtable with Kevin Olszewski, and at 5:15 p.m. on the Afternoon Ride with Hustler and Rick Ralph. Watch for bonus chances to qualify online. Winners will be announced Monday mornings right here on The Big Show, and our next grand prize announcement is coming up, and it will be our final grand prize announcement, as we already have four grand prize winners. It'll be November the 6th, a week from yesterday here on The Big Show. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. It's Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and us here at TSN 1290. And once again, just for qualifying today, you will get a Jets Gear gift card. Mr. Rewicki, who's our qualifier?
Yeah, we're almost out of time, but it's Dave Roseborough.
Rosie!
Dave Roseborough, congratulations, sir. You're our 12th caller through. You get a Jets Gear gift card, and you are in for a chance to win our fifth and final grand prize draw.
Smell it good,
on November
Rosie!
The 6th. Coming up Woo! Like roses, Dave. Roseborough. Congratulations. We'll do it again at 8:15 on The Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Coming up next on the Anchor Products Power Hour, Mr. Paul Edmonds live from Minneapolis on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars of the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these fine individuals for making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who is dedicated to making their sport matter. Every Friday on The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Visit TSN1290.ca to nominate your sports star, and we could be featuring them soon on the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour here on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7 with Paul Edmonds and Brian Munns on the call here on TSN 1290. Rick Ralph and Hustler on the Afternoon Ride 3 till 6. Kevin Olszewski is the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6. And the Huron Windows postgame show. We'll wrap it all up for you. Mr. Edmonds.
Can you just see Paul Edmonds with that song cranked up? LaGrange cranked up to about 12.
Oh, yeah.
Arm out the window. Through his hair.
One in each hand.
Some
already
Ray-Bans.
Cracked. Sure.
He's driving. He's not. Doesn't have one in each hand.
Oh, he's driving?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I thought he was on a boat. One in each hand.
Can't drink
be
on a boat.
Be driven by
either,
someone
man.
Else. Be driven Timothy by someone crickets. Else. It's safe boating.
You can't drink on a boat.
We can't.
You can't drink in boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Like well, that. You can't drive the boat.
Yeah,
you can.
Right.
Can't you be on a boat and drink?
You better get off the boat, JT.
I better get off the water. I'm not driving the boat, but anyway, yeah, some other people who are safe are the good people at Goche. And this segment with Paul is brought to you by Goche Chevrolet and McPhillips, where for the month of October, get 0% financing on most vehicles and get a Vegas vacation for two included. Goche Chevrolet, 1400 McPhillips at Inkster. Paul Edmonds joining us live from St. Paul, Minnesota. Paul, can you drink on a boat if you're not driving?
The boat has to have a bathroom on it.
Oh.
That's a so fancy boat. 12,
well, all the boats I've been on do.
If you're in your 12-foot rooftopper and you're at the front of the boat and your buddy's driving, you cannot have alcohol in the boat.
Oh.
What is the bathroom rule for? That's kind of interesting.
Well, I guess so that you don't fall over while you're relieving yourself, Lefty. It's pretty simple.
Fair. Somebody keep this steady. Okay. It'd
be a horrible way to go.
Every time I've ever done this, it's been in a different country. I just want that to be known. Thanks for joining us today, Paul. How are you today?
Oh, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Jets and Wild tonight. What was the atmosphere around the skate yesterday? We heard from Brian Little saying that we're, you know, almost treating the 7-1 win as a loss because you move on. And that's really, you know, we hear that a lot when they lose bad games, Toronto, Calgary early in the year. But they do it as also when, you know, you win big. It's we all know they take it as a day-by-day thing.
Well, I think it's pretty businesslike. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. as they did last evening, or when they played for a little while after the game on Sunday. And then the next day, it's get prepared for the next game. So that's sort of the mood and the mode that they've been following here. It's like you just mentioned, Jim. When you have a loss, whether it's close or you've got blown out, you try to forget it real quick. You go to the video session, you pick out a few of those highlights or areas that you need to improve on, you go out, you have the skate to do that, and then you move on to the next game and get prepared for the team. Same with the win. You can't rest on your laurels for very long. You've got another game to play as you roll along, and I think that they're playing very well right now, and they want to. They're kind of excited about getting to the next game and having an opportunity to put another win together because they're playing fairly well. That was the best period of hockey, that first period the other night, that I've seen in a long time. And then I'll even tell you that I even liked the rest of the game that the Winnipeg Jets played, even though that Pittsburgh, tried to have a little bit of pushback in the second period. I thought the Jets certainly handled that with aplomb as well. So they knew it was coming. And they were able to still kind of stem the tide and add on to a 7-1 victory. So I thought it was one of the best games of the year and best games in a long time for all of the things that went on within it. And now they'll be tested again here against Minnesota, a team they've already beaten this year, but they beat at home. So Minnesota is usually pretty good here at the XL Energy Center. But I would have to tell you the mood's pretty strong here with the Winnipeg Jets right now, and they're feeling pretty good about their game. And the way they're playing, and that even includes those two games that they lost in overtime in back-to-back fashion in Pittsburgh and Columbus. They liked the way they played throughout those games, and were not maybe for a little breakdown in the third period, and then a couple of things that went on in both games in the overtime to clean up. Generally speaking, I think they were pretty satisfied with the way they played over the course of grabbing points in four straight.
The boys have looked real good, no question about it, in the last three games for sure, Paulie, and seem to be in a real good place. I want to ask you this question. We were debating this a little bit earlier. Nikolaj Ehlers on the second team power play, when I think he's your best zone entry guy, I think he's the best playmaker that the Jets possess, and then there's also the inherent chemistry that he has with Patrick Laine. I don't understand why he's not on that top power play.
Well, I'll certainly tell you that I like your thought on the entry. I think Nikolaj Ehlers is very good. That when they use him on the drop, and they use him a lot on the second power play on the drop, he's the guy that, generally speaking, can navigate his way through that neutral ice and get inside the opposing zone. And then he's also very good at stopping on a dime, starting again, or rolling off the boards and into an area that he needs to get to. I'm not quite sure why they haven't used him with Patrick Laine. Maybe they don't want too much of the same thing. They already use those two guys together on 5-on-5. There's other players that they want to get involved, certainly on the top end unit on the power play. That would be something that we would probably need to ask Paul Maurice about, and he would probably have a decent explanation about why he doesn't use him on that power play. But that doesn't preclude the fact that that couldn't change as they go along. The power play's been okay. I like the penalty killing of late a little bit better, but it scored a goal the other day to the power play, and it's kind of meandering along. We'll see where it is, as we get to another 10-game segment, because we've got through the first 10 games, and maybe you have some self-evaluation at that point. But Nikolaj Ehlers is just speedy and crafty with the puck, and in terms of trying to get into the zone, if that's your first problem with your power play, then Nikolaj Ehlers could be one of your answers to it. And maybe they tinker a little bit and elevate him, but I couldn't answer as to why they haven't moved him up to play with Patrick Laine, other than the fact that they play together 5-on-5, and maybe they just want to separate the two and get some other guys involved on the power play to start anyway this season.
10 games in, Paul, are we sort of, Rick Ralph likes to look at it in 10-game increments, and the Jets sit third in the Central after a Dallas win last night, 5-3-2 with 12 points in 10 games. Your impressions after the start of this season, the first 4 weeks?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, and I think that it would be a lot better, certainly, if they grab a point or two out of this game here tonight Another win certainly would be favorable for them to really put together a decent start, a decent first month. You're not going to bury Minnesota tonight with another win, but you're certainly going to do yourself a favor by getting to where you want to be. And I thought that as we were talking, as we went along leading up to this season, that, you know, it was playoffs or bust in a lot of respects for this team. I mean, the organization was telling us that. And I think all of us believe that this was the time for the Winnipeg Jets to get into the postseason and start to do it consistently. But more than that, I kind of felt with the team they had put together and the improvements and holes that they had filled over the course of the offseason, that maybe a wild card was, you know, selling the team a little bit short, that there was an opportunity for them to maybe push into one of the top three spots in their own division. Well, here they are right now, and I know it's early, and you know, you can lose two games and find yourself in the bottom of the conference, or you can win two games in a row and almost find yourself atop the division. So there's a lot of movement right now. But having said that, I think over the course of the 10 games that they've fashioned together, I think it's kind of where they want to be and where we kind of expected them to be. You know, anything less, I think, would be a bit of a disappointment, and anything more, I think, would be a bit of a bonus. But in saying that, I really like the first 10 games. They've shown some adversity. They've battled through it. They've had some games in there they certainly didn't like. They've had some games they really liked, and they had some teams that that really pushed them up against the glass, so to speak, in the sense that they challenged them. I mean, Columbus and Pittsburgh four times in there. You're challenged by the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. You're challenged by a team that certainly won, you know, 16 games in a row last year, and I think is a contender to probably come out of the Eastern Conference in Columbus. So, you know, they've had some tester games for sure. So I like where they are, but there's another 10 games to go here. But the first 10 games, I think that you'd be pretty pleased if you were reviewing and assessing what they've done over the course of their record in those first 10.
Mired in the basement of the Central, Pablo, we stumble upon the Minnesota Wild. Still without Parise and Coyle, expected to get Niederreiter back tonight. What are your thoughts on where the Wild are at?
Well, it's always a tough place to play here. And, you know, Bruce Boudreau has always had that great regular season record. His downfall as a head coach in the National Hockey League in three different places, including here in Minnesota after one season, has been the inability to push his team through the postseason. But it might be a bit of a challenge this year just trying to get there. I mean, I think St. Louis has been a bit of a surprise in the division. Colorado certainly has. You know, it all comes back down to Devin Dubnyk for me. And they've had a pretty consistent group here in Minnesota for the last several years. And one of the reasons they were pushed to be so good a couple of years ago, and then even last year, was they had top-notch goaltending, and Devin Dubnyk has provided that. Now, Alex Stalock has seen action in a couple of games this year, so not quite sure we'll know more about who's going to mind the twine here tonight after the skate. But if Devin Dubnyk is average, then the Minnesota Wild will follow suit. And you know, they've had a lot of injuries, but they still battle. I mean, when you look, and nothing against them, but when Chris Stewart leads your team in goals scored, that's probably not a great thing for your team. So the injuries have certainly hurt them. Missing Parise for a couple of months going forward now is really going to be a hole to fill. But, you know, the Winnipeg Jets, prior to this year, going back 2 years in a row, missed Brian Little in the middle of the ice for good chunks of seasons. So everybody goes through it. Minnesota will be a tough test here tonight. A lot of it comes off the back end for them. They've got some guys that can really move the puck in Suter and Spurgeon that can skate and are offensive. And you know, they've got some guys certainly at the forward core that are pretty quick and score goals as well at a rapid pace. It's not the old Wild of 5 or 6 years ago where they grind it down and there's not much going back and forth. They can certainly get up the ice, Minnesota. It's always a great game between these two. It's a great geographical rival. There's always a lot of Winnipeg fans down here for, you know, myriad reasons to come and watch. And there's a presence within this building that that represents southern Manitoba and certainly the Winnipeg Jets. But Minnesota has always been a challenge for the Winnipeg Jets. And we'll see what they do here tonight against them and what maybe changes the Minnesota Wild make or have to make against the Winnipeg Jets with the way the Jets are playing after losing 4-3 there a week and a half or so ago in Winnipeg. So looking forward to this one for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is it's a central matchup.
Paul Edmonds, the voice of the Winnipeg Jets here on TSN 1290, joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. This is the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour as well. Right before we let you go, Paul, what's the latest on Adam Lowry, Matthew Perreault schedule of return, and when these two do, what does Brendan Lemieux have to continue to do in order to solidify his spot, given the fact that there are going to be some roster moves when everybody's healthy?
Well, I think Perreault is still out for a little while. He's not. Last time I checked, he wasn't out with the regular group. Adam Lowry was, but he needs maybe another practice or so before he gets into some game action again. I think he's getting pretty close, though, is Adam Lowry. I know that Paul said that they were going to travel with him, and he's on the trip, but I don't expect him to play tonight. When those guys come back, or when a Lowry comes back, and he'll be first before Matthew Perreault, I guess it depends on how Brendan Lemieux is playing. I mean, Paul has said that they have been devoid of that sort of role player in their lineup from the start of the year until they inserted him. He's a little bit more feisty, and he gets under your skin just like his father did. And, you know, he has some offensive flair. We saw that with the goal that he scored the other day, and he can skate. He did a lot of things in the offseason to improve his speed and quickness and just his overall skill. There's a pretty good little package there for a 21-year-old and a guy that comes in with some sandpaper to his game. Adam Lowry, you certainly want in your lineup because he's going to take those faceoffs for you and also kill penalties and eat up some third-line minutes maybe against the other team's top line. But you know, I would be looking probably at somebody else to come out of the lineup, and it's going to be a tough decision. I kind of like Brendan Lemieux. Now, they didn't like his second last game. They liked his last game against Pittsburgh. They didn't like his game against Columbus. But for him to play and stick on a regular basis, he needs to do what he's been doing, and that's get under people's skin, get in people's faces, be physical, you know, try to provide some offense and some speed and some tempo. And he's certainly flourishing a little bit with his line mates right now as well. But I think he's been a real good recall for the Winnipeg Jets, and I know he's enjoying his time here. And we'll see what kind of decisions they make when Adam Lowry comes back. And like I said, Adam's probably sooner than later, but probably won't go tonight.
Paul, great stuff. We appreciate it. Boat safe, and enjoy the morning skate and the game tonight.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Paulie.
Paul Edmonds on the big show on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. NHL news and notes is next on TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the big show from the Royal Sports Studio on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets a game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7 o'clock. It's NHL news and notes time. And this segment is brought to you by Olympic Homes. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you. Do we dare talk about Shipachev again? Well, let's not, because the Vegas Golden Knights had another goaltender go down. Oscar Dansk in last night's game in New York taking on the Islanders, Brooklyn to be specific. Is there a market for Michael Hutchinson?
Well, there was before yesterday.
Yeah, they were taking calls.
There was a piece, yeah, that they're taking calls on Hutch, right? So I suppose that market is getting more and more demand heavy. And it's pretty funny. Jay and Dan like to thank him this morning. Of course, my 4 a.m. daily Sports Center watch, and they have right now they listed the backup goaltending or the depth chart situation for Vegas, and their starter right now, I can't remember his name, their backup was the goalie coach, and then the third on the depth chart right now is Air Bud.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you're Vegas, do you just try and ride this out here until Fleury? Like, if you think Fleury's close to getting back?
You are really riding it out now, right?
But you don't have any option. Like, tonight you're not going to bring in somebody because they play again tonight in MSG.
Uh-huh.
So you're just kind of stuck with Lake, and they're bringing up this kid, Dylan Ferguson, 19 years old from Kamloops, who's got a goals against of over 4 and a save percentage of .860 this season.
You know what the funniest part of that is? Having covered the Dub, he literally is getting a call at some high school in Kamloops going,
yeah, we need you at MSG, kid.
It's the GM of the Blazers. They need to fly to New York.
Well, the crazy thing is, I was reading about this last night. So he gets the call from Kamloops. He's got to drive, I think it's 3 or 4 hours down to Vancouver. And then from Vancouver, he has to get a flight from there across the continent over to New York to try and get there in time for tonight's game against New York. And it's going to be a tight little squeeze for him to try and get in there before the pregame skates.
Well, they might make him drive to Kelowna, too, which is an hour away, fly him to Calgary, but then you got to go Calgary to New York, which is even probably longer than the four-hour drive to Vancouver.
Right, so now, the Maxime Legacy, unfortunately, he wasn't in for the whole game, right, just part of it. So right now, one game – this is a stat line. One game played, he's got a save percentage of .636 and a goals against a 9.60.
It's a hell of a legacy.
Very, very interesting.
Ten games played by the organization, and they're 4 goalies into it, right?
Yeah, they're, what are they, 5 games above .500 still?
Uh-huh.
I don't see this going well for them. And it's interesting, not even with the goaltending, even with Marc-Andre Fleury, they're on a 6-game road trip, and I think things start to, everybody's excited about Vegas, and rightfully so. It's a good story. It's a good start. I think this 6-game road trip, even with Fleury in net, is where this team sort of starts to level off. And I could be wrong, well, of course, the goaltending now, but I'll see how the 6-game road trip goes to the Vegas Golden Knights and where they end up with. Last night was an emotional night for Patrick Marleau, his family, as the Toronto Maple Leafs went into San Jose. Of course, the second overall pick in the 97 draft. He's played over 1,505 games now, and the majority of those, while save for 12 this year, have all been in San Jose. He goes back and faces the Sharks last night. Toronto loses their fourth game in five last night to San Jose, but Marleau goes back, 7 points in 12 games. Emotional time for him and his family going back to San Jose tonight. It was interesting. I always like watching this kind of stuff to see the reaction and everything, and just how tough it is for a guy like that who literally spent 20 seasons in San Jose to go back and play against that team.
Yeah, it must be weird for sure, and cute story. Bottom line now, though, the Leafs have lost 3 in a row and are heading in the wrong direction in their division.
Babcock's an awful coach. That's clear. I'm kidding. Do not tweet me. Save it for the boss.
Do you guys know the goal pace Austin Matthews is on this year?
He's got 9, I know.
He's on pace for over 60. Hmm. And when you look back to how many goals he had last season, I think it's Lindros, Bure, and Solane, the players who have scored that many goals. Gretzky, obviously, but in the last, since 94, I believe. He's in that kind of rarefied air right now in terms of goal scoring, less than 100 games into his career.
He's in tight on a lot of his goals, huh? Like, he's really. Yeah. Yesterday was a sweet shot, but he's in tight. Like, he's within 5 feet of the blue paint, typically.
This segment on the Anchor Products NHL Power Hour was a presentation of Olympic Homes, ready to move specialists. Tour their homes in person or online at olympichomes.ca. We'll talk some more CFL with Milt Stegall next on The Big Show. From the Royal Sports Studio on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
This Saturday, November the 4th, all Tommy Gunn's original barbershop locations across Canada will participate in Cuts for Nuts, an event in support of testicular cancer research. During the Cuts for Nuts event, $10 from every haircut or shave will be donated to the Movember Foundation. The Movember Foundation funds innovative research. They aim to stop men from dying too young. According to the foundation, testicular cancer strikes early. It is the most common cancer in men under 40, and diagnosis rates have doubled in the last 50 years. For more info, TommyGuns.com/cuts. For nuts.
That's a motto that'll grab your attention.
That is, for sure. By the way, special announcement today, gentlemen. I've been working on this.
Where's this going?
Our Movember mustache rides to Bell MTS Place is back.
Phew. Okay.
Mustache rides to the Jets games is back tomorrow on TSN 1290. I will again be participating in Movember. I'm still going to try and convince you guys today.
Looks like you got an early start, bruh.
I'm going to shave the beard, everything off, and every Wednesday we will take bids for us to pick you up in our mustached TSN vehicle and take you to Jets games throughout the month of November in support of Movember. So are you guys going to jump on board? You could probably have a Tom Selleck there, it looks like.
I hate facial hair. I did it the first year. I hated it.
You hate hair in general, let's be honest.
Fair point. My dad was a survivor of prostate cancer, though. So, hey, man, I support the cause. Where it's come in the last 5 years or so, like however long, 10 years this has been going,
10 years,
is profound, right? Like the awareness is through the roof right now. So I support my brothers. I will join you guys. As you guys grow mustaches, I'll grow my carpet. I'm going with the carpet this year.
What is wrong with you?
I'm there with you. It just won't be as evident.
That's one shag carpet I don't ever want to see. Brandon, are you going to do the? Looks like you could get a line A blonde golden boy duster.
Oh, yeah. It would definitely be a feathery duster. Like it's. I'm not going to try and fool anyone. Like I'm not going to be Selleck or anything or Keith Hernandez. It'll be wispy. We'll see. Maybe I'll give it a go.
We've brought this up before with our next guest, Mr. Milt Stegall, former Blue Bomber great and a big part of the CFL and TSN panel. Milt, I'm telling you got a shaft mustache in you there if you want to participate in Movember.
I would love to. I don't think my bosses at TSN want me to cover
again,
up.
Again, eh?
I mean, a lot of people tune in just to see what I'm looking like, what I'm dressed like, all the knots. So I can't disappoint those fans. I can't do that.
There are people that don't even watch football just to tune in and see what Milt's looking like.
Exactly. That's how it works sometimes. So, yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Could you think of a worse situation for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as they head into the last weekend of the regular season, given the injuries and just how the defense is playing this past month and everything else?
I mean, everything that could go wrong is going wrong for this team right now. They're not in a good position right now. Hopefully, Matt Nichols is ready to go come playoff time. I guess they're basically ruling him out of this game, and their chances of winning are very, very slim. You know, it will take a lot from their defense and a bunch of punt returns or kickoff returns for touchdowns for them to win this game, let's be honest. And for that reason, I don't understand why they're dressing Andrew Harris. I don't know if they wanted to get the record or what's going on because, you know, it was a vicious hit. If I'm correct, I don't want to speculate. I think he suffered a concussion. So I would sit him out and rest him and make sure he's ready for that playoff game. So they're in a bad place right now. But the good thing, they know they're going to be in the playoffs. Will they have a home playoff game? That remains to be seen. You know, you have to be optimistic and positive as possible, but they will be in the playoffs come the following weekend.
Mill, I got to ask you, man, that hit. Deshaun Davis coming in, launching himself. It was all helmet-to-helmet contact. And what in the fizzy is the CFL doing? No flags thrown on the play. Command center doesn't get involved or anything like that. I've been watching this closely for 4 or 5 years. The CFL is asleep at the wheel if it isn't dealing with the quarterback in helmet-to-helmet shots. You feel that the league has to make some sort of profound change in their approach to this?
Well, I mean, it's hard, and on that play, you know what, Troy, I somewhat agree with Mike O'Shea. It's a difficult play, and I can't say the young man from the BC Lions did it helmet to helmet. First of all, it was a low throw. So Andrew Harris has to scoop the ball up. And as he's scooping the ball up, it looks like the defender is trying to make a solid hit, and Andrew Harris just puts his helmet into his helmet. And I may be wrong. You may be right, Troy, but from my point of view, from what we saw, I would say it's a football play. Now, it's unfortunate that there was a helmet-to-helmet contact and Andrew Harris suffered that injury, but it's almost hard. It's very difficult when you're going that fast and you see the defender the offensive player get the ball low and he's coming up and you're trying to hit him in the correct spot, but unfortunately he didn't. So it's hard to tell if that was intentional or not. But, you know, it's hard to get it out of the game. You know, players are moving so fast. Things are happening so quickly. I don't think majority of these players are trying to make helmet-to-helmet hits, but it's going to happen. Unfortunately, it's difficult to get that play out of the game.
You know what, Milt, did I wonder? I wonder if, you know, in today's game with the kids, coaches are going way out of their way to promote and ensure that when tackles are made, like all that responsibility is on the hitter. So when you're coming up, and similar to hockey, or when you're coming up on that play, the option to wrap Andrew Harris up in that situation is there, as opposed to trying to get a big lick on him, which to me is what Dave's is doing there. And I wonder if X number of years down the road, because kids are being taught to tackle differently today, at some point in time, if that works its way into the professional leagues, because when they were 6, 7, 8 years old, they were being taught to wrap up maybe instead of launch into a tackle like that?
Well, let's hope so, you know, because that will totally change the way the game is played. And I think you'll still see those big, exciting hits because fans want to see that. I mean, when you watch, you know, the top 10 SportsCenter hits, it's not people tackling anybody. It's like basketball. When you watch the top players, it's not layups. It's dunks. There's still 2 points, but people want to see that electrifying high-scoring dunk just like they want to see that electrifying hit. But we can change the way players are getting hit. Like you say, it starts down on the grassroots level when players are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, or those coaches teaching these players to tackle correctly. Because when I was playing, it was all about just go out there and make the big hit, knock the snout out of them. That was the way coaches were teaching players. And unfortunately, that's the way a lot of these players are playing now. So hopefully the grassroots level, those coaches are teaching those players the correct way to tackle.
Milt Stegall, former Blue Bomber great, and of course a big part of the CFL on TSN panel, joining us this morning on the Big Show, 12 minutes past the hour. It is an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild on the station tonight at 7 o'clock on TSN 1290. Milt, how this West plays out is going to be very interesting, and Westwood has been making some great points about the Saskatchewan-Edmonton game, and you know, you want that home date if you're Edmonton, but also if you're Saskatchewan, do you not want to go to the East and sort of take that route? How do you sort of prepare if you're both those teams for this game this weekend and try to win it?
Well, you just have to go out there and play to win. You can't think about, you know, what's going to be your position. Well, the East is weaker, I want to cross over there. Well, if it's so weak, there hasn't been a team that's crossed over and gone to the Grey Cup. So you can't have that mindset. Your mindset is, we're going to go out there and win this game, and we'll let everything else take care of itself. You can't think about, oh, well, I want to play in this division, I want to play in that division. You can't have that on your mind. You have too many other things you have to concern yourself with. Of course, Edmonton, they're going out there, they're trying to get a home playoff game because they know they have an easier shot of making it to the Grey Cup if one of their games are at home. But regardless of where you're playing, just go out there and play your best, and everything will fall into place. If you can go out there and play your best and you're the best team, you're going to be in the Grey Cup, regardless of where you're playing.
Should Stamps fans be concerned right now with where the Stampeders are at on a two-game skid right now?
There's some concern now. You know, last week, after they lost to Saskatchewan, I was saying, no, they're okay, but right now they should be concerned. Bo Levi Mitchell is not the Bo Levi Mitchell we've seen in the past, and I think it's starting to affect that defense. You know, that defense is great, but when they're on the field that much, when you're putting that defense in bad positions, I don't care how many great players they have, they're going to suffer. And you're starting to see that now. So there definitely should be some concerns. You know, they have a great organization that starts at the top with Huffnagel, and Dickinson's a great head coach, but they have some concerns now. They won't come out and say it, but I guarantee you they're concerned about what's going on because teams don't feel like they have that S on their chest now. They feel now, wait, we can go out there and beat this team. You know, it was like when Tiger Woods first started playing golf. Everyone was intimidated, even when he just walked on the course. And then when people started beating him, things changed. And that's the case for these Calgary Stampeders now. They have to find a way to get their mojo back. But at the end of the day, they're still only one game away from the Grey Cup like they were last year. So we'll wait and see what happens when they play in the Western Conference Finals.
I really like what Toronto's doing lately. Do they have a good chance to come out of the East in your mind?
I think they do. They have a very good chance. They've established their running game, and that saves Ricky Ray. That allows him not to have to drop back every single time and take a hit, even when he's completing passes. I don't care how how great a shape you're in, how healthy you are. You can't continue taking those hits at his age. So that balanced run game with JWJ, I'm thinking they're going to get some of their top defenders back, Marcus Ball, Sean Lemon. Cleon Ling, all those guys may be ready for the playoffs. So if all those guys are playing the way they're capable of playing and Ricky Ray and that running game is going, they have a very good chance of making it to the Grey Cup, regardless who crosses over in the from the Western Conference.
Great stuff, Milt, as always. We appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you on the weekend with all the games and the regular season wraps up.
All right, sounds great. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Turtle Man. Take care, bro.
Okay.
Milt Stegall of the CFL on TSN. It's going to be a fascinating final week of the regular season in the Canadian Football League. We're going to talk some NFL at the bottom of the hour. It's NFL trade deadline day. Jason Cole is going to join us. But up next is your next chance to qualify for Hockey Nights in Vegas on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
.780-1290 is the number to call as TSN 1290 and redtag.ca rather present Hockey Nights in Vegas, sending five lucky listeners. We have four and their guests chosen to go to Las Vegas this November. We're looking for our fifth and final grand prize winner. They'll see the Winnipeg Jets take on the Las Vegas Golden Knights at the T-Mobile Arena on Friday, November the 10th. We will get you there with return airfare to and from Las Vegas. You'll get free parking at the Winnipeg Richardson International Airport, courtesy of Park and Fly. Two tickets to the Jets and Golden Knights on the 10th. And four nights accommodations right on the strip at the MGM Grand. And just to make your trip a little bit better and help cover any extras, we'll give you $1,290 in cash during your stay. Listen for your chance to qualify and win weekdays at 7:15 a.m. and 8:15 a.m. right here on The Big Show. It's your final week to qualify as well. Weekdays here at TSN 1290. Kevin Olszewski will have a chance for you to qualify at 12:15 on the Don Vito Roundtable weekdays. And, of course, the afternoon ride with Andrew Hustler, Patterson, and Rick Ralph will also give you a chance to qualify. But make sure you stay tuned to our social media and your bonus chances to qualify online. We do that at our 1290 Facebook page. Winners will be announced Monday mornings here in The Big Show, and our next and final grand prize announcement is coming up a week from yesterday on Monday, November the 6th. So this coming Monday, we'll announce our fifth and final grand prize winner. For more information, check out tsn1290.ca. It's Hockey Nights in Vegas, presented by redtag.ca, where Canada shops for great travel deals, and us here at TSN 1290. And our 12th caller through today we'll also get, as all our qualifiers do, a Jets Gear gift card in order to make your qualification even a little bit better today on this Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody, by the way. Mr. Ruwicki, our 12th caller through at 8:15 is...
It's Brian McDonald.
Brian McDonald!
Yo!
Happy Halloween! Over there. What's that, sir?
You better tell Troy to get dressed up and maybe he can throw a football for the Bombers because they're going to need a quarterback.
I'm stretching, baby.
You want him to go as a quarterback for Halloween?
You know Kenny Stabler? That's who I look like when I'm back in the pocket.
But I can probably fill in, though, because I used to be a quarterback. So
really? Do tell.
Quarterback. Well, cool. Long time ago.
You sound like Ed Bundy.
Who'd you play for, man?
I played at Grant Park and then I went to St. Vital Mustangs.
Sweet.
Nice. Yeah. Played 3 years for Mustangs, yeah.
Well, we got your number from Wix, right? We'll get your Wix and we'll forward it over to the boys over there at IGF.
Hey, we did not have shotgun in those days. So, you know what?
Yeah.
I wasn't very quick. The only time I was quick was when a linebacker was chasing me.
I hear you, brother. Yeah, I hear you. I know what that speed's like. into that speed, right?
Yeah.
Let's not talk 40s, Brian. Have you been to Vegas before?
No, it's on my bucket list.
Well, we could help.
That's cool, man.
Scratch that off your bucket list. Who would you go with if you win our grand prize?
Well, I'm single, so any girls out there, I'm in.
Here we go.
Yeah. Uncle Rico, former quarterback, looking for love. Let's go to Vegas.
Right on. Well, there's always the joints down there, but yeah.
You know what? I hear that you could possibly find love in Vegas if you go by yourself.
Hey, my neighbor did.
I did. Wow.
Yeah, she was in Vegas last. Oh, she was lucky because it was the plus 25 degrees. I said, you're lucky.
Yeah.
He met her online, and now he goes to Vegas.
And he meets her.
Yeah.
Wow. See, love can happen anywhere.
Did Michael Remus meet his wife online?
I don't know.
I think so.
I think Remus, whoever he met her, should get down on his knees and thank the Lord above.
Good Lord, yeah.
Whatever Lord you pray to.
Maybe all of them.
Hey, Brian, we really appreciate you calling in. We really appreciate you listening to TSN 1290. Not only are you in for the grand prize draw, you get a Jet Skier gift card, and potentially you could be on your first trip to Vegas where you yourself, sir, may find love.
Put gum on my tag there and make sure you pick the one with the gum.
Good luck, man.
We'll do our best. Thanks for listening, Brian. All the best. Brian McDonald, our latest qualifier for Hockey Nights in Vegas. Your next chance coming up at 12:15 on the Don Vito Roundtable and 5:15 on the afternoon ride on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Gentlemen, it is the NFL trade deadline, and this is a blockbuster just breaking right now. The Miami Dolphins, according to Ian Rappaport, are trading running back Jay Ajayi to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
No other Holy details smackers. As of yet, but Jay Ajayi going to the Philadelphia Eagles with Carson Wentz and that receiving core and the defense. It looks like the Eagles are loading up
that
today.
That is cool.
And you know what? I saw Chris Mortensen, the ESPN insider, earlier this morning tweeting, and he said, I just want to grab it here. When you hear a coach like Adam Gase publicly rip his team, a message is usually sent to prove he meant it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like something's going on in Miami.
A bit of a shakeup. That's worthy of an eagle call, isn't it? Or an eagle cry, JT.
Kevin Fishbane, who's an NFL reporter mostly covering the Bears I follow, has just tweeted, Adam Gase isn't messing around. And then another from Greg Brady, Ajayi to the Eagles for a fourth round pick. So the Dolphins, I can hardly blame them. Hasn't looked like they wanted much of their last two games. So Gase not happy with the Miami Dolphins, so he's trading his star running back, Jay Ajayi, to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fourth round pick is all it took to get Jay Ajayi.
How excited would you be if you're headed to the Eagles right now? You're talking about a number of years upcoming where they're poised to make some noise.
Well, I was really hoping the Eagles would be aggressive at the deadline too, because we see it in the NFL all the time. When you get a chance to potentially win it all in a year and a chance at a first-round bye, I think teams need to be way more aggressive in going after and building a team. Because
to secure the bye
specifically. Well, and look at the Carolina Panthers, though, right? Like, they had that 14-2 season. They go to the Super Bowl, and they're just not the same team. They're not even close to what they were. Like, the window in the NFL, unless you're the Patriots, is so minute and so tiny that I think when you – I know Wentz is still super young, but when you get a chance, I think NFL teams should be way more aggressive.
And here's the thing. Like, the Eagles are 7-1, but a fourth-round pick for a number one running back, like, that's not a high cost. I don't know why it's not done more. A Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be your starting quarterback for a second-round pick. Like, in the draft, we're talking about how many quarterbacks went in the first, 20 picks. Like, to go get a key position like that, and it's only costing you a second or a fourth round pick, I don't understand why more teams don't do it.
It is weird. And I think it shows, like, those draft picks may be lost on us a little bit, and just exactly how much they value them within those organizations.
And I know that, especially in the NFL, like, you have starting players in the fourth and the fifth round if you draft the right position right. I get that they're starting players. But if you're a contending team and you can get a proven number one piece of the puzzle, I don't understand why they hold on to draft picks like, on Halloween, Grim Death, like they do. So we'll talk NFL on the trade deadline and more on the Jets and Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as well. But we'll get into the NFL and this trade deadline that is at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Central this afternoon with our good friend Jason Cole from the Bleacher Report. Next on The Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day as the Jets are in Minnesota to take on division rival the Wild tonight, 7 o'clock. The puck drops. Paul Edmonds, Brian Munns have the call for you on TSN 1290. The afternoon ride will help tee it up at 3 o'clock. At 6, the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show, and then the Huron Windows postgame show will wrap it all up for you. And, of course, the Boston Pizza fan line will be open on the Huron Windows postgame show. It will be open at 9 o'clock today. Get your thoughts on the Jets and the Wild and how you feel about the Jets after 10 games and the 12 points they've accumulated going into this week, where they'll see the Minnesota Wild tonight, the Dallas Stars Thursday, and the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday. We'll get your thoughts on the Bombers and the injuries as well. No Matt Nichols at quarterback for the final game of the regular season in Calgary this Friday against the Stampeders. We'll get your thoughts on World Series Game 6. Who do you like? Do the Astros end it? Or will there be a Game 7 on the Boss Pizza fan line? And we'll get your impressions of the NFL trade deadline, where we've already seen some movements, including the big move of Jay Ajayi going to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fourth-round pick. To talk NFL and the trade deadline, we welcome back to the program Jason Cole with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki on TSN 1290. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not too much. We're just watching this trade deadline and thinking that it will be busier than usual this year. Do you get that same impression?
Well, I mean, this is already one of the most memorable trade deadlines I can ever imagine. I mean, not just the level of player that's being traded. You're talking about, you know, three starting quality players who've moved already. But you're talking about the volume, too. I mean, the biggest trades I've ever seen on these days are usually, you get one trade involving, say, Roy Williams, the wide receiver who moved from Detroit to Dallas that one year, and a deal that included a first round pick, and plus I think there was a fourth rounder in there too, and a, you know, sizable contract. You occasionally see a cornerback move, but we've seen, you know, starting left tackle, a possible franchise quarterback, and a dominant starting running back. You know, that's impressive here so far.
Jason, what do you think about, in New England, a 40-year-old starting quarterback, and if he goes down at 40 years old, that seems maybe more likely than not, but what do you think about what's behind Tom Brady at this point?
Well, there's nothing behind Tom Brady at this point. There'll be Brian Hoyer. I assume that's what they're going to do, but there's nothing really behind him yet. So they went into this season with two guys that a lot of people thought were promising backups in Brissett and Garoppolo. So they moved Brissett before the season starts. They move Garoppolo now. I mean, they're rolling some very significant dice in this case. And I think the report from Adam Schefter was pretty accurate. And on Garoppolo not willing to sign a long-term deal, you know, they were hoping that they were going to get that done. I just don't understand why they didn't know that in April they weren't going to be able to get a long-term deal done at any kind of reasonable price. That, I think, was the miscalculation here for New England, because they should have been able to trade Garoppolo for this kind of a price back in April, help themselves in that draft, and then be able to keep Brissett around for another 2 or 3 years as the backup until he either matures, becomes the starter, or he moves on as a free agent if Brady happens to be playing still, you know, 2 or 3 years from now.
That's what I'm wondering, is not the surprising moves that we're hearing so far, but just the price doesn't seem very high to me.
No, well, and that's unusual given the time of year, but I understand with Garoppolo, you weren't going to get a lot at this point for Garoppolo because you don't move quarterbacks in season and expect them to have an impact. And the San Francisco could have just waited this one out and signed him as a free agent in the offseason. So, in other words, New England was sort of trapped knowing they weren't going to be able to franchise him and hold him and try and get a real high pick, because they didn't get that high pick that they wanted in April for him. So the price never was where they wanted, and they didn't want to take the risk of, you extend the franchise tag, all of a sudden he signs it, and then you can't move him. That traps you in a big way. Now, Dwayne Brown goes for relatively cheap, but Dwayne Brown talked his way out of Houston. I know that, you know, he held out for half the season, and then he took advantage of this whole Bob McNair situation. I hate to say took advantage of it, because it's a legitimate criticism of Bob McNair for what he said, but it's clear that he was milking, that Dwayne Brown was milking this for everything he could to try and get out of Houston, because he didn't want to be there. And the more he opened his mouth, the more it was clear that Houston was going to have to trade him.
I believe it was Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry who said, a man's got to know his limitations. And that made me giggle when I saw a tweet from you not so long ago that Trevor Siemian doesn't understand the limits of his talent.
Yeah, well, he made two throws yesterday in that game The one down the sideline where he should have just run for the first down, and he tried to throw it long to Jordan Taylor, and that's just bad. You know, that was an inaccurate throw where he's not a really good thrower on the run. And then he comes back and he does the same thing late in the game where you throw, you know, late across your body into the middle of the field, deep. He doesn't have that kind of arm. I mean, there are very few humans in the world. In fact, probably the only person on that field or in that stadium yesterday who could make that throw is his boss, John Elway, all right, who, you know, could run across to the right, throw across his body and throw a bullet. Just there are so few humans who can do this, and Trevor Siemian's not one of them. So, you know, that ball flutters up for the interception. Now, they were probably weren't going to win the game anyways, but in this particular situation, it's like, son, you can't do that. You got to eat that ball. You got to do something. You got to run it. You got to do anything but throw that pass, because that pass is the kind of one where your teammates are looking going, dude, you can't play. I mean, because not only can you not physically do that, but mentally, what are you thinking?
Jason, I get the Ajayi trade for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't get it for Miami. What's going on there, and what are they looking to do?
I don't know. I haven't been able to make phone calls on that one yet, but that one surprised me. I mean, maybe they're just trying to say, we're going to shake up this lineup and do whatever we can. I mean, going into the season, he was supposed to be a bell cow running back. It hasn't turned out that way, but he was supposed to be a bell cow. Now, he's had some attitude problems in the past. I would ask about that, but, you know, I haven't heard anything about that this season to know that this is where things went off the rails. But that's, you know, there are a lot of questions about this one. For them to dump him for a fourth-round pick at this time of the year just raises a lot of red flags of what the heck is going on here.
Do you think ultimately the Cowboys end up wrestling a wild card spot?
Pretty good chance. I mean, look, is the NFC anything close to what you guys thought it was going to be? Like, you know, Arizona's already kind of out of it, and you know, San Francisco. So you've got L.A. and you've got Seattle in the West. Okay, pretty good teams. In the South, you've got New Orleans playing well, surprisingly, so on defense. And everybody else is in a, you know, in a scrum right now. So you maybe one team comes out of that. You've got Philadelphia, and then, again, you've got a scrum with Dallas sort of leading that scrum right at the moment. Maybe Washington can turn around, but right now it doesn't look so good. And then you've got the North, where you've got Minnesota, because of their defense, is overcoming the fact that they don't have a quarterback. And then Detroit kind of hanging in there, wondering, are they going to be able to make something happen? And Green Bay hoping that they can get some kind of miracle out of Hundley until they get Rodgers back. So you've got the four division leaders, the Rams as one of them, and then you've got a bunch of teams, probably three teams, you know, Detroit, Dallas, and Atlanta maybe, hoping to get that other wild card spot. Dallas is as good as anybody, depending on what happens here with Ezekiel Elliott.
Well, let's talk about that. What is going to happen with this now that this has been reinstated? They are going to appeal again. Where does this go, or does it continue the way it has been?
I think another couple of weeks. I mean, look, the courts are making it pretty clear that they're sort of done wasting time with these matters when they've been argued out already. I think that the way I read this from the courts is, look, players, you keep coming to us for relief on these issues. We can't help you. You have negotiated a collective bargaining agreement that covers these issues. It's not our fault that you negotiated a bad collective bargaining agreement, but you did it. And when it comes to player discipline, so go take care of this the way you're supposed to take care of this and negotiate between yourself and your employer. You know, we can't help you. And that's essentially what's going on here. They're getting faster and faster with these rulings. The Brady case took 2 years. This one looks like it's going to get wrapped up much, much faster, even though in the past, usually these court issues have gone much slower. But in this case, the courts are saying, you know, look, we've been down this road enough times. Let's move on.
Jason, we always talk football, but we know you love your baseball. We've got Verlander and Hill going tonight in Game 6. How do you see things playing out?
Well, it's the Dodgers are going to win. That's what's going to happen. Somehow, some way, the Dodgers are going to win. They're going to win the next two games. bring home this champ. I mean, good God, this is such a roller coaster. I mean, this is a great, great series. I mean, and it's been very few years since I've watched every minute of every World Series game. I usually watch a lot, but this one I'm watching in particular, obviously, for the Dodgers, and I've watched every minute of it. And, I mean, boy, Sunday night was fantastic. I mean, it took forever, but it was a fantastic game. I just, you know, I think the great little item that Tom Verducci had about the fact that the cover of the balls is so slick that the guys are having a hard time throwing their sliders, that's pretty obvious, too, in early innings. And then, like, you know, Dave Roberts has done, you know, he's followed the book on how he won during the regular season, but he's worn out that bullpen. And they had nothing left to try and get through the late innings. Even Jansen is tired because he keeps pushing him out there for two innings. It's like you just can't do that with your closer. You can't do that with your pitchers time and time again in a series where you're playing like this, where everything is such high stress. But, yeah, Dodgers are going to win. That's the way it's going to be.
I'm not talking to Jason anymore because he took the Dodgers. So you're going to have to wrap this up.
Thanks so much, brother.
All right, guys. Talk to you
later. Take care, man. Be good.
All the best, Jason. Thanks for doing this. I can't, like, it's...
I just, you know what, man?
As a journalist,
I pray
it's hard.
Game seven.
You know what?
Always, right?
And Hustler said that yesterday, too. He's pulling for the Astros. He thinks it's a great story, but I think we all would love a game seven.
Just
it's been phenomenal.
The more often we can get treated to game sevens, then the better off we are as lovers of sport, right? Bring it on, baby.
Although I do kind of like the aspect of Verlander going out there and going nine innings. I either want Verlander going complete game and the Astros win, or the game seven and Kershaw comes out of the pen. And because that's what would happen, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Kershaw
yeah.
would come in. He wouldn't start the game.
That'd be something.
And he'd have to kind of pull a Madison Bumgarner-ish performance, right? And maybe pitch the last three or four innings.
Do you guys feel this series has been so great and back and forth that it's due for a game where one team just gets beat 8-1 or something?
I hope not. No.
I hope not too, but do you feel like that's coming with how tired the pitching is and everything?
It might look like that, right? It might look like that after the third inning tonight. And maybe
that's a
the
good
Astros
point.
Will be up by three and then no way!
No lead is safe.
That's right.
Don't go anywhere. Astros and the Dodgers game six tonight. It's also an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day with the Jets and the Wild. Lots to talk about with this game and the 10-game mark for the Winnipeg Jets. We'll tee up the Boss Pizza fan line next on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on the Big Show. TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki teeing up the Boss Pizza fan line for you. Looking forward to an hour of your calls. Got this email here, gentlemen, from a Matt Liebel? Lobel?
Liebel. I've heard
Liebel.
Of him. Yeah, heard
you know
of him.
This guy?
A bell. Rings a bell.
What's his name? Matt Liebel, you say?
One of the spiritual Matthew? Leaders of this planet.
Spiritual leader?
Yeah.
Sounds like a real loser.
Shout out, Chair Zedek!
Matthew Liebel is now on the board for the Manitoba Sports Hall of Fame, working with Rick Brownlee and the crew down there, which I'm a big supporter of. Their fourth annual induction dinner is November the 4th, coming up this week, and the public is welcome to buy tickets and participate. It's your chance to rub shoulders with Manitoba Sporting Elite. I've been to this dinner before. It's an excellent event, and you listen to the induction ceremonies and words of inspiration. In fact, one of the ones I went to is when Ray Turnbull was put in, and Vic Rauter was off calling curling somewhere. I'm chatting with Ray, who, you know, unfortunately passed away recently, and we wish all the best to his family and all his friends, but chatting with Ray and saying, you know, just running into him there, congratulating him and all that, and then sitting down at the table next to him, and Vic Rauter comes out, and Vic Router's literally on the East Coast and has a curling game to call at like 6 a.m. And just Ray Turnbull was blown away that Vic
That's
would fly all the way out and fly out right after his speech to get back to the curling. So it's a great event. There's a lot of people there. And this year's slate includes Canada's greatest Winter Olympian, Sidney Claussen, going in. So if you want to buy tickets and get to it, you can visit ManitobaHallOfFame.ca. And all the information is there. Rick Brownlee and the great people there. Having that dinner on November the 4th should be a great time. Once again, and congratulations to all the inductees. It's an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight, 10 games in, two Central Division foes this week, starting with the Wild this evening. What do you like about this matchup? What are you looking towards for the Jets and the Wild tonight?
Well, there's always some sort of level of feisty, huh, between these two teams. And with Mr. Lemieux in there for the Jets, I'm sure we'll see some little bit of oomph and sandpaper added into it all. Chris Stewart, pretty funny, I suppose. Six goals in nine games, I believe it is, for the Wild. Their leading goal scorer. The Jets look pretty doggone impressive over this stretch here. And you know, whatever transpired, so long as they played well on Sunday there, the level we saw in the first game against Pittsburgh and then Columbus, I like what I see a lot right now. And I don't want to see a train wreck a la October 17th against Columbus and a couple of nightmares earlier before that. I would love to see, give us a block of 10, 12 plus games of some certain level of consistency where the spectrum covered isn't wide and some gaping and ugly. Like, just give us a nice solid block of games here to show that you're playing at your potential and you're sort of tuned in. I want to continue to see that.
Now, I may be wrong on this, but it feels like when the Jets go into Minnesota, it's either a 1-0 or a 2-1 game, or it's like 6-1 Wild.
Huh.
Like, I'd have to look into it, but it feels like it's going to be one of those spectrum games for
the
Jets.
The boys win 2-1 then.
Let's hope so, right? Because coming off the 7-1 win, I'm just kind of tired of seeing those immense setbacks where they look like they're back on track. They look like they have everything going, like the Columbus game, right? They win three in a row. Hey, you know, things are looking pretty solid right now. Then they get their doors blown off.
Interesting. You think there'll be an emotional letdown? You wonder.
I don't know.
After that first period.
It shouldn't.
I can't believe my eyes. I'll never forget Bob Cole saying that. That was just beautiful.
Well, that's what I look forward to with this team, or look forward to, is the consistency. I would like to see them play with some consistency again for the fourth game in a row.
Yeah.
I don't think the Columbus game was spectacular, but there was some consistent traits going, and they only gave up one goal in the three periods until overtime. I want to see that continue. I think the Jets have a great opportunity this week to get 6 points. I really do. I think if they can go into Minnesota and get at least a point but win the game, Minnesota's struggling, although they won two in a row. Come home and host Dallas, who I know had a big victory in Vancouver last night, 2-1, and then the Montreal Canadiens. Just keep that consistent play going and get some points here. I'm not saying they're going to win all three, but I think they have a chance to at least get points in every game, and it'll be very interesting this week for the Winnipeg Jets as they go forward, sitting third in the Central Division right now and having only played 10 games.
Keep rolling, hella wall.
Yeah, I go with
big,
Hellebuck.
Soft and square. Stay there, baby.
What are your thoughts on the Boss Pizza fan line of tonight's battle with the Jets and the Wild on TSN 1290, 780-1290 coming up on the Boss Pizza fan line? Also, we talked about the Little Ehlers Line-A line. Troy made the point that he would like to see Ehlers on the first power play. We'll delve into all that. And what do you think how the bottom six has been playing, given what it's all been talked about as well? NFL trade deadlines today. There's been a couple big ones already. What are your thoughts on that? And also the World Series. Game six is tonight. Who are you guys taking in game six?
Well, I can't take the Astros. I mean, definitely Dodgers. I'm crapping my drawers, though, with Verlander on the mound, and you know, hopefully gets lit up a little bit, right? But hoping to see, just show me some great drama, let the Dodgers win, and then let the chips fall where they may in Game 7. I'm mostly praying for Game 7, and in order to get there, the Dodgers have to win tonight.
Yeah, I'll go Game 7. I don't know how. I'm just not – how can you predict what's going to happen in this series?
You can't, yeah.
So – I'd be down with a game seven.
I'm hoping it's over. And if it's over tonight, I will see you guys maybe by Friday. That's all I'll say. Maybe. And also, Bombers are without Matt Nichols, but they did say that Andrew Harris should play this weekend. Your thoughts on the Bombers? They'll only practice twice before heading to Calgary to wrap up the regular season. Anything and everything on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290, when we come back to the Big Show on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, Industrial Metals, Winnipeg Jets game day. Hustler and Rick Ralph with the afternoon ride, 3 till 6. Wonder if he'll dress as Dumb and Dumber. That would be funny.
No, that's always a home run, right? Wherever you're going. You got a couple guys, a couple individuals that you can't beat the Dumb and Dumber.
Kevin Oshesky is a Manitoba Building Trades pregame show. He should dress as Michael Remus. A hoodie and a Mariners hat,
unkempt t-shirt,
unkempt hair,
and some kind of attitude.
Oh, yes. A laissez-faire attitude, like you're too bored in life to tell us how you're doing today. That kind of attitude. How you doing today? Interesting stuff. Jets and Wild tonight at 7, Paul Edmonds, Brian Munns, and then the Huron Windows post-game show with Kevin Oshesky as well. The Boss Pizza fan line is open. What are your thoughts heading into this week with two Central Division teams on the slate and the Montreal Canadiens Saturday for the Winnipeg Jets? Heading into tonight, what are you looking for? What do you want to see? Is it Hellebuck in your mind all week this week? Are you happy with Patrick Laine's play this year? We have a lot of people thinking that he should be doing more. And the line of Little, Ehlers, Laine, and as Mr. Westwood was saying, Mr. Ehlers on the number one power play should be a given. Your thoughts on the power play and its struggles and where Mr. Ehlers should be on the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290, World Series Game 6, and no Matt Nichols for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers this weekend. Do you give him a chance to beat the Stamps on the road? All that and anything else you wish to get to, 780-1290. And also you can text us your thoughts at 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. Now, Movember starts tomorrow. And last year we did mustache rides to Bell MTS Place for a Jets game. And we're going to do it again this year. I will be partaking. We'll get our page together in Movember and get our TSN 1290 page up. And you can join there if you want and participate. And then every Wednesday, for 2 hours during the Big Show, we're going to take text for bids for Winnipeg Jets tickets, and part of the prize will be a mustache ride to the game. And we have a TSN 1290 truck that's going to have a giant mustache on the front of it. We'll come pick you up, take you to the game, and drop you back home after the game as well. So we'll do that for the month of November.
It's always fun.
It is.
People had a lot of fun. There's some good stories with the drive homes. Yes, last year, right?
Yes, yes. Some rides were smooth, like a mustache. Some rides were smooth and other ones were rough, depending on how much fun you had at the game, you know?
Fair.
NFL trade deadlines today as well. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo going to the 49ers and his impact for the rest of this year?
Well, anyone that's seen their O-line play is concerned for the well-being of Jimmy Garoppolo, I'll tell you that much. But you just kind of, you know, they're obviously The process thing. They're a train wreck, though, and their O-line, from highlights that I've seen in any time that I've watched, there's just pretty much every single weekend there's going to be 2-3 gifts of horrendous 49er O-line play. So I think he's going to, you know, it's not going to be the comfy confines of the Patriots and that system parachuting into there, right? I hope he plays at a high level, just for sure. But I'm more intrigued, I think, by the potential ramifications here in New England. When you got a 40-year-old guy like Tom Brady, like, man, you can get out of bed when you're 40 years old and just take a wrong step, something tweak a little bit, or if, you know, Brady were to get popped, you know, and they had I know that he walks as a free agent if they don't get him signed here at the end of this season, but with where they're at as a team and where Tom Brady's at, that's a heck of a nice insurance policy, isn't it?
Well, they're obviously certain that Brady's playing for three more years, right? Like,
But even just this year, you only got Graub. Like, you can't re-sign him. If he's not willing to re-sign, you're not willing to put the money into him. But just as an insurance policy specifically for this year, I understand yeah. they get a second-round pick for him, so there's benefit there. But there is nothing behind Tom Brady if he goes down. And with Garoppolo, you're kind of – like, you're in pretty good hands still. So you lose your insurance policy this year if the Patriots have.
Is this a smart move for the Patriots?
I think so.
I know. Look, I know what this is going to cause. But should they have kept Jimmy and moved on from Brady next year? Because that's what they have done better than
anybody
else.
At every other position, right?
At every other position, that's what they've done better than anybody else. And I heard Pierre LeBrun on the station yesterday on TSN 1290 in the afternoon ride talking about the Blackhawks and the situation they're in. And he goes, that's what happens when you win. You have to pay your stars, and then you're sort of in this bind with the cap. And I thought to myself, should the Blackhawks have moved on from a couple guys throughout the years? The Seabrooks or the Duncan Keats and – like the Patriots have.
The Kings, too, right?
Like the King, and like I just had that in my mind, and I think to myself, with Tom Brady, like if you even trade him and keep Garoppolo and go forward, there would be a market for Tom Brady, a bigger one than there would be for Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
And do you go in that direction and sort of like keep...
The thing is, though...
Keep reloading.
If Brady's saying that he wants to play till he's 45, and if you as an organization and training staff are monitoring him, and if there are no signs somehow magically at 40 years old that he's starting to deteriorate as an athlete at this point in time, and like he's leading the league in passing, 106.5 rating, 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, if there's no signs of his impending end, and if he stated that, hey, man, I'm good to go for 4 or 5 more years, I guess they've obviously showed here they put a lot of faith into what they see and how slowly or how he's been able to slow down the deterioration process that typically happens at his age.
And, hey, maybe they go into this year's draft, whether it's the first or the second they picked up, grab another heir apparent and restart the process all over again. I will say this about San Francisco, though, is that John Lynch is early on acing his first year as a general manager, I think at least. I think he's been tremendous so far. He started with the Bears trade and the draft, sorry, Jim. And then he doesn't panic with the move for Garoppolo, waits for his team to basically tank the first half of the season, and then you pick up your quarterback, and if the Niners end up whether their first, second, third overall pick, well, now all of a sudden you got your quarterback and you're able to use that pick as ammo to potentially, you know, demolish a quarterback needy team and pick up more picks throughout the draft and build your roster up that way. So I think he's done a tremendous job early on.
They were, you know, what's so sad to me, man, is the Niners and the, remember the promise of Kaepernick and Harbaugh and just what they seem poised on the edge of, and it just. Bust, huh?
What like just, Eagles, right?
You remember those playoff games with the Seahawks and the Niners winning and Kaepernick and
the Packers ones
look,
too.
Yeah, the Packers like just poised for brilliance.
Yeah, and then it just and that defense was vaunted and
yeah.
To the Boss Pizza fan line on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day 780-1290. Who do we have?
Norm.
Norm, you're on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
Well, how are you?
Oh, awesome. Hey, I think Houston's going to take it tonight. It's going to be game 6 all over.
Attaboy, Norm. Attaboy.
Awesome. I was going to say, too, I got if the Bombers don't rest Harris and anybody else that's very important to that team, I think they're making a big mistake. And with the Jets, with Liney there, his defensive game's coming around. It's all going to come around. They're playing awesome, so just leave it go on course. And you know what? It's going to be a good Winnipeg Jets winter this year. And I'll hang up there.
Thanks, Norm. We appreciate the thoughts.
So he's all Let It Be, a la the Beatles for the Jets lineup, huh?
Yeah, Let It Be and rest the Bombers. This is breaking news from KFAN 103 in Minnesota. Bruce Boudreau of the Minnesota Wild has confirmed that Nito Niederreiter will be returning to the ice this evening after missing 6 games with an ankle injury. So Niederreiter will be in the lineup versus the Jets tonight.
So just Coyle and Parise out now, right? Like they're coming back. Beware of the Wild, baby.
Yep. concerning Norm's thoughts on the Bombers, like, this is going to be a hot topic as we head towards this game in Calgary, whom you play and whom you don't.
The Harris thing, the knockout shot that we saw him take, knowing how tough he is. Like, there is, I've known some tough men in the time that I was around the game of football, and Andrew Harris would be right up there at the very top of them. And he was down and out. He was being held up for a time frame there. And I just, if he's going this upcoming weekend, I find that to be shocking. So, you know, and he wants to play, right? He's one of those guys cut from old school cloth. He's going to want to play for sure. So, hey, man, if he says he's okay to go, he's okay to go. I understand that. I understand the mentality. But ultimately here, and when you're talking about defense, and the thing is, like, you're not going to go into Calgary and, you know, Andrew Harris isn't in for a light or a soft game there. You're going in with a backup quarterback, right, who's going to check down and probably use you more often in those check down out of the backfield throws, and then the run game is that much more critical as well. So it's not going to be an easy game for him, and you just think of X number of days ago watching what we saw on the field. It's one of those situations very similar to Sid Crosby last year that doesn't add up for what we have come to know for the most part as far as when you come back after concussions, but also that whole Sid Crosby thing, right? They came out on a Tuesday, I think it was
3 days,
saying
they
had a concussion. He was playing 3 days later, and now we're being told that some of the parameters or understandings are different as to their turn. So that whole thing, to me, you'd think you'd want to err on the side of caution, especially not having your starting quarterback. It seems like a real long shot to go into Calgary with Davis or Lefevre and walk out of there with a win, but I'll tell you this, boys. If I see number 33 on the field against Calgary, in my heart and head, I'll be saying a prayer for his well-being.
Yeah, and it makes me feel real uneasy thinking about. I mean, it's. I guess it's kind of hard to look at concussions and grade them on varying levels of severity, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they look innocent and then the guy's out for a month. Sometimes they look brutal. The guy comes right back. But Harris couldn't walk off the field. Yeah. He couldn't undo his chin strap.
Up. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's just something that's going to really put me off seeing him out there against Calgary. And on top of that, there's almost no chance they win this game regardless with Matt Nichols out. So why not look to that playoff game up ahead and say, well, what gives us the best chance to win that game? You give Harris a full week off to recover, and not only that, but you avoid getting any more bumps and bruises on him. Nichols gets a full week to recover, and you know what? Like, Edmonton has to go into Saskatchewan and win that game too, right? Like, it's not like the home playoff date is completely
lost, yeah,
unavoidable, yep, because Saskatchewan, they're beating everyone
very
right
capable
now.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I look at this game against Calgary, and I'm looking at this as a rest game if I'm Mike O'Shea for my top two guys.
The way I look at it is if Andrew Harris plays, it'll be because he's cleared medically. But
of course.
I don't know if, just given that it's a playoff game and next week, and I mean, obviously you want to get that home playoff date and you want to play well and all this stuff. I don't know even if he is. Well, the only way he'll play is if he's medically cleared and it's good. I know they're not going to put him in danger medically to put him in that game. I just don't know if putting him in this game is the best thing for the playoff game and everything else surrounding it. So they will practice twice this week, and then they go to Calgary on Friday and try to solidify a win in order to get a home playoff date, given that Edmonton and Saskatchewan play each other as well. We'll take your thoughts on this and, of course, Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day, Jets and Wild. The more of your calls and some tweets as well, at Jim Toth Sports, at Troy Westwood, at Brandon_Rewicki if you want to weigh in. David's weighed in about the Jets' power play. We'll get to that next. And more of your calls on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290, when we return to the Big Show at the Royal Sports Studios at TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
back on the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7 on the station. Jim Tolt, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki with you in the Boss Pizza fan line. You can text your thoughts and comments to 1290-90 with standard message rates applying, or you can give us a call at 780-1290. We're talking Bombers, the lineup, no Matt Nichols. Andrew Harris, quote-unquote, should be good to go. That's from the team. Also, World Series Game 6 tonight. Who do you have, the Astros or the Dodgers? And, of course, the Jets in the Wild. Nito Niederreiter will play. He's missed the last six games with an ankle injury. That's just coming out of Minneapolis now. Bruce Boudreaux saying Nito Niederreiter will return to the lineup. Who do you have tonight? What do you like about the matchup? And what can the Jets get done with this divisional rival? They'll host the Dallas Stars on Thursday night and then the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday. Three games for the Jets this week. Your thoughts on that. To the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Terry, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. First on the Bombers, I couldn't agree with you guys more. It would be asinine to have Harris play versus the Stampeders this coming up weekend. You know what? If we have more problems on our defense, and the only way we're going to have any chance, whether it's at home or on the road, is to have a healthy quarterback and a healthy running back. So rest those guys. There's nothing. In fact, I think I would almost go as far as saying that the coaching staff have a little dirt on their hands with regards to Harris's injury. Davis, after all that time, they finally figured out this is what he got. And Davis is that underthrow, and Harris, being the competitor he is, trying to make that shoelace catch, put himself in that position to get hit. If any other quarterback's there and that's a proper throw, you don't have Harris putting himself in that very vulnerable position. So bad on the coaching staff to hang on that guy that long, and that's all we got. Back off flipping to sports on the Jets, on talking with regards to Maurice and the power play, I think trying to figure out along Troy's line of thinking, why is Paul trying to be so, and I call it stubborn. And to me, it's with coaching, you almost have a mindset, an intellectual mindset, and a sort of a stubbornness. This is the way I see it. And you can tell me otherwise, but here's my theory, and I'm going to prove it to the nth degree, regardless of whether it fails or not or however long it takes. So regardless, you can look at the Pittsburghs, and I'm all for loading up all the power. I would sooner have all our power on for a minute, 20 seconds, and see what happens versus, you know, diluting it. But I think it's just coming down to Maurice's very strong-headed, very, you know, stubborn in that fashion to do what he's doing, because I don't know. Has anyone actually posed that question to him in the media and saying, you know, Brandon had thrown out that stat regarding, well, how's that working for you actually performance-wise, and they're, what, at 14%? So what they've been doing hasn't shown success. So when does the time come where all of a sudden he says, okay, he taps out and says, let's load up, let's put Ehlers and everything on there. So anyways, I will hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks, gentlemen.
And the one thing I want to say to reinforce what like I was saying before and what you're touching on there, man, is that I have looked at Dallas, Tampa, Boston, Pittsburgh, all with the top four power plays in the NHL. All of them load up their top power play line. Washington, who's had a top power play forever in the NHL, loads up their top. So there are examples where teams aren't doing that and spread it out. But the top most effective power plays in the NHL, typically, they load up that top line and give you a whole bunch to deal with for the majority of that those penalty power plays. Sorry.
Yeah, and I had examples of other teams that don't do it, but to Troy's point, they're not near the top of the league. And even Chicago separates Taves and Kane, but Chicago's power play is
28th right now.
Yeah, it's not very good either. So it's an interesting debate. I'm not opposed to it at all. It's just interesting. He has been asked about it. He was asked after Columbus when they went 0-6, and he felt that the zone entry was the biggest problem in the Columbus game, I believe is what Paul Maurice said.
It's been a few games now that's been the main issue.
Yeah. Not a few games, brother. Like, it's from the start, more or less.
And then sustaining as well once he got in was the other thing Paul said that they're
– Right, and so
that's a pretty –
And so just to reinforce what I was saying earlier, you have the best guy zone entry on the Jets. No questions, Nikolaj Ehlers. You have the most dynamic playmaker slash passer on the Jets. I'm going to say it's Nikolaj Ehlers. He's remarkable. And then also you have the inherent chemistry that exists with Ehlers, with the guy that you're trying to set up for the death shot and the laser beam as often as you can to Patrick Laine. Those three things coming together, it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever why you would stubbornly keep him off your number top your top power play.
Continue the conversation. Take more of your calls when we come back to the Big Show on Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on the Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild at 7 on TSN 1290. Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6, and Husser and Rick Ralph at the afternoon ride prior to that. Starting at 3 o'clock, the Huron Windows postgame show with Kevin Orshevsky and friends will wrap it all up for you. This is Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with the Big Show from the Royal Sports Studio. More of your calls in just a moment. David on Twitter says he wants his first power play on the Jets to be Scheifele, Laine, Ehlers, Trouba, and Morrissey. And on the second one, he wants Little, Wheeler, and Connor with two D-men.
My dream Jets power play is Buff in front, and not to, like, I don't want him standing in front of shot. Like, even whoever's shooting from the point, I don't want a big, crazy-ass wind-up, head-high blast coming in. Feed something to the front of the net can be tipped, deflected, and that sort of thing. So Buff in front to cause trouble, and he's got some nifty mitts. I like that. Laine, Scheifele, Ehlers, and then give me Trouba on the back end.
I would keep it basically the same. I would just have Ehlers in for Connor.
And put Connor in the second
That's
one?
Fine and dandy with me too, bruh.
Yeah, like I and Wheeler can then be the guy that's in front of the net.
Nifty
and
mitts, yep.
You know, the guy that can peel off and make plays and that sort of thing. To me, there's no way Blake Wheeler can't do what Wayne Simmonds does for the Flyers.
But the one thing I would say, if Buff's back there, like, I would like to see Buff be a little bit more smart maybe in what you send to the net from the point. You don't have to try and score so much as utilize the guy that's in front for the tips and all the rest of
it. Yeah, like he's real trigger happy, right?
Super
like more selective
happy.
With
yes.
your shot and shot choice.
And concede and feed the guy to your left. That's the focal point.
Word.
All I keep seeing is that sauce backhanded pass to Patrick Laine that he one time from Wheeler. I like those two on the power play together. I like the fact that he finds those gaps in the coverage, even on the far wall, to get it to Laine where he one times it. I like
he's
Wheeler
good, bro. He's
there.
Not yeah. as good as 27.
It's hip hop day here on the Big Show for Halloween. We got the bra and the word and the everything
always
else.
Always hip hop day here, man.
on Halloween. Happy Halloween, by the way, to everybody. Be safe out there today and dress warm. To the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Mahinder, you're on the show. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's Mahinder, not Mahinder.
I'm sorry. I want to get it right. What is it, sir?
Mahinder.
Mahinder. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem. Anyways, I want to talk about the Jets here. You know, the way our bottom six has been playing right now, what do we do with Adam Lowry when he comes back and the way the top six is playing? What do we do with Matthew Perreault? Well, Matthew Perreault is going to be coming back. And the way Connor Hellebuck is playing right now, Steve Mason, are we overpaying for Steve Mason? For, you know, we paid like how much for being a backup and not playing that well. We're having the same problem with Steve Mason right now, where, you know, Connor Hellebuck seems to be, you know, answering bell, where, you know, once again, we're paying our backup $4 million a year.
You know what, though?
Not coming out of my pocket, though, but, you know.
You know what, though, man? Like, I think they're more than happy to have paid Steve Mason that, even if it simply ends up being an insurance policy in watching the organizational guy they were hopeful was going to grab the starting position and watch Connor Hellebuyck blossom here in the next couple of years. I think they're more than happy if that's the way it develops.
Yeah, I'm the same way. In a cap world, I don't care which goalie on the bench is making what. I just care that your goaltending is good from both guys and it's costing you $6 to $7 million. And if that's the case, then that's fine. I don't have a problem with a guy making four and a starter making two or vice versa. I just think under a cap world, as long as they both fit in the cap and they're both playing well, then that's all I concern myself with.
Although after the season, someone has arbitration rights.
Yes,
yeah, that's going to be an issue.
We might have an issue then when it's costing you 9 yes. to 10 for two. That
after
might be an issue then.
After he posted 934 this year.
But even then, though, Mace would only have 1 year left on his deal, right? Yeah. So you can – if Hellebuyck continues this progression and you're in a bit of a cap crunch and you feel like you need to move on, you know, just salary cap wise with your goaltending situation, you'll be able to get rid of 1 year, $4 million. And not only that, but I would also say that – I would expect Steve Mason and his numbers to mirror more from the Columbus game than what we saw early on.
Dramatic improvement.
I will still maintain that he has not played that poorly this season.
You can always send him to Vegas next year, though. They'll probably have about 10 guys on contract that are goalies going
right
into next
now
year.
If you wanted to. And, you know, keep that in mind, too, eh? Like, heaven forbid, but we've all seen some injuries in Vegas with goaltending. I mean, you'd rather have that there than not, I'm sure. Thanks for the call, Haminder. We appreciate that and your opinions and taking the time to the Boss Pizza fan line again. Dan, you're on the program. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, it's Dan the Man. Yo, yo, yo.
Dan the Man. Happy Halloween, Dan the Man.
Happy Halloween. Just a couple of things. I watched that game last night with the Kings and the Blues. Since February, the Blues have had the best record in hockey, and Yo's winning percentage, I actually checked this out, it's higher than the Oilers in the 80s. And I know you guys marked them as being out of the playoffs and Allen to be not a good goalie. But anyway,
hey, whoa, not question. You guys. There was a couple of guys in this one.
Who?
Second question.
Who is not a good goalie?
Questionable Allen, so people weren't sold on.
Oh, yeah.
So my point is, it's not just a player. You got five starters out. It's coaching. It's everything else, and that's what I'm talking about. It's like coaching, right? So, second question: the Bombers. In 2007, I was on the 45-yard line at the Grey Cup, and I was actually on one of the planes, one of the team planes, heading out to Toronto, and there were players on that plane that were in street clothes that didn't play, that the next year were starters in the CFL. It didn't matter. You have to have that second backup quarterback, and I'm hoping that one day the Bombers realize that, because it's been a long time since we've had a really good second backup.
I'd like to give the Bombers the benefit of the doubt with a full week of practice for whomever starts with one of their backups. However, they're only practicing twice this week. That's the other issue of getting a guy some reps.
It's a real crime to come to a conclusion of Dan Lefevre after what you witnessed last week. He is much better than that.
And Darren Bauming just tweeting out that they are back at practice today, but it's a closed practice, so you won't know who's getting the number one reps until likely tomorrow.
And this is a bit of a different direction here, but looks like the Jets might catch a break tonight, because Boudreaux says that Alex Stalock is getting the start net. Said that he's flat out earned more playing time than Devin Dubnyk right now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know if that's a break. Like, Stalock has
been...
You think so?
He's been he was in the AHL. Like, I don't know. He's a career mediocre backup. I'll take my chances over Stalock than a seemingly struggling Devin Dubnyk.
Who Stalock beat this year? I'm going to look that up. Thanks for the call, Dan. The first question was about the goaltending, right?
Yeah.
And the team and overall. And that's no doubt that, when you have a team playing better in front of you. Like, that's the impressive part about Connor Hellebuyck. I think the team defensively has played better in front of him, but also he's just been clearly miles ahead better.
He was talking Blues, all right, and giving them props and saying, Mike, the impact of him and... Yeah, hey, you got to tip your hat in a huge way to what the Blues and Mike Yeo are doing.
Stalock in two games this year has a win and an overtime win.
2.90 in two games, 924. It's only two games, but Alex Stalock and Nito Niederreiter also drawing into the lineup tonight for the Minnesota Wild against the Jets. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Carson, you're on the big show. Go ahead, Carson. Hi, Carson. All right, try again if you wish. Carson on the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 or text us at 1290-90 if you want to get in on the conversation. Back to Twitter here. Derek would like to see Buff dress as a stay-at-home defenseman for Halloween.
Hasn't Buff looked pretty good since coming back from the injury?
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. That I don't think... Outside of that overtime goal in Columbus, I don't think there's been too much to fall for his play.
No. Ever since the injury.
And 6 points in 8 games. You still don't think he was injured? He was injured.
Sure has dialed himself in compared to what he was in those first two games. Just saying.
It's Halloween.
Came back from the injury, and I guess Paul Maurice was able to lock in and, dude, grab him by the shirt and say, dude, enough of the crap. Tone it down and tune it in.
Buff should dress as a sturgeon for Halloween. Or show up in like some kind of sturgeon suit to the game.
Some kind of fisherman.
And this is what I know.
And Matt Hendricks should be his...
Just let it go.
Okay, what do you know? What do you know? Let's say he was injured.
And people are saying his groin, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever tweaked a groin?
Here's what I know.
Have you ever tweaked a groin?
Yes.
Would you ever take a knee when you've got a tweaked groin, brother? Hell no is the answer to that.
After 4 days of physio, maybe?
No. Unless you're completely
You've got
to
be kidding me. You don't think he was injured.
I don't know what the hell was going on. I know this. He's playing a lot better since his return. He was a train wreck prior, and if you got a tweaked groin, you ain't kneeling down for nothing.
I heard also he was just sitting in the boat, and actually Hendricks was the one who caught the sturgeon.
He's kneeling in the river.
So what if he's kneeling? You can't kneel when you have a pulled groin?
You do not. You're damn right you wouldn't. Not even pulled. If you got a little tweak, you're not going to take a knee like that.
I cannot believe you actually are comparing your experience with groins to everybody else's.
I've got all kinds of different grades of groin injury, man. If your inside leg, that's where your groin is, for those that are giggling, not knowing, it's like anywhere from your knee up to your, right up to your inner thigh, right where your leg sort of connects in there. And you would never put your knee your leg at the angle necessary to take a knee and pose for a picture if your groin was bugging you. You'd be protecting it at all times.
Can you tell me how Dustin Byfuglien is feeling right now?
No, but if someone tells me that they've got a tweaked groin, I can tell you how they feel.
Can you tell me if he's got a sore knee, how it feels right now, and if he can kneel or not? I'm not trying to I'm being silly, but to sit here and say that we know exactly how he would feel and what he would be able to do and don't is ridiculous to me.
Jim, when you go into treatment and you're getting treatment for anything. You don't do anything outside of treatment that could possibly do anything to take away from the healing function of the muscle, whatever it is that you're dealing with. Everything you do away from treatment is all based on healing and getting better. And you would never challenge in any way whatsoever the body part that you're in treatment for. That's all I'm saying. I know that.
So fair enough. So I don't think that he did that day, get treatment – and I don't think anyone said, don't go, I'm going to fish and stuff with Hendricks. And they said, no, don't do that. You're going to risk something. All been cleared. To me, this is just a massive conspiracy theory that's gone way off the rails.
Well,
I don't think he would do anything that would jeopardize an injury. And I don't think the Jets would allow him to do that.
No, and you're not reading between the lines well enough, man. I don't want to spell it out for you.
You think he was healthy scratch, and I'm telling you that's ridiculous. Ken Weave has been on this station, who was on the road trip, and said, I visibly saw him in Edmonton, which is literally 4 or 5 days prior to Vancouver, limping around.
Okay,
and you're telling me that the between the lines you're trying to tell me is this is where I get a little stretch.
let's say this is true. So the coaching staff sat down with a player on their team and said, we need you to fake an injury because we're going to healthy scratch you and we need you to play better. While you're faking that injury, we're not going to skate you. We're not going to let you practice and allow you to get better at what we need you to get better at. And on top of it all, we need you to fake limp around in front of the media. And then with all that being done, you think Dustin Byfuglien leaned back in a chair and said, yeah, okay, I'll do all of that for you.
I saw video of him walking in the arena. He wasn't limping.
Not in Edmonton, you didn't. That was in Vancouver.
And if a coach said, take a couple days off, okay? Something like that, you wouldn't show up for... I'm just saying, this is what I'm saying, is that we were told he had an injury. And it was a groin. I saw a picture of a guy kneeling down on one knee. And to me, if you got a groin, you don't do that. And then he came back and miraculously is playing at a way different level. So just the way it all worked out, all I'm saying, he came back from injury. That's all I said originally. The air quotes off. No one can see me making the air quotes. I'm just saying he is tuned in. I'll say this. The bottom line is he is dialed in, tuned in at a considerably higher level than the horse crap we saw in those first two games, which were something beyond unacceptable out of the gate in a year where defense was being emphasized.
In a similar story, there's a guy in Nevada that's selling his ranch for $5 million because of constant alien attacks. That's the reason.
You ever dealt with aliens?
With that. Yeah.
No. And luckily, my groin pulls have been just...
They have been on
ones.
This planet.
Yeah. I know a couple, man. They ain't no fun to deal with.
happy Halloween, everybody, on The Big Show. We'll be back with more of your thoughts and calls on the Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day on TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day edition of The Big Show, TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruicki taking your calls on the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Grant, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Good day, guys. Just got a quick question, or not a question, a quick comment I want to say in regards to the Blue Bombers having their home game. A lot of people say it's a big financial hit, but when you really think about it, how much of a financial hit is a team that goes into the playoffs, doesn't go anywhere? I'd rather have a team go somewhere in the playoffs. You'd be better off. You'd put more butts in the stands over the long term. You'd have better resale value for all your advertisements as well. Without that, you're not getting anywhere, whereas if you got a winning team, it's a lot easier to sell.
Well, I dare say, though, you secure a home playoff game that gives you a better chance to win the initial playoff game, which pushes you further down the line to winning more, which is what I think you're getting at.
Yeah, doesn't playing at home give you the better chance to win regardless?
Absolutely.
Not if you're doing it at the expense of having a better team. If you know what I mean.
Are you talking about playing Harris this week?
Yeah, playing Harris this week, exactly.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, we're talking about the potential cost there of playing him this week. A fair point to make.
I think it's I get what you're saying. I still think it's huge for this organization and any organization in the CFL to get a home playoff date. But to your point, like, that's the debate, eh? There's people in the football operations going, this is what's best for us come playoff time, and there's other people going, you know, this is what's best for us to – like, it's the CFL, too.
Debate doesn't come in, I don't think, when for players to play. It's doctors, is he a go? Yeah. Yes. Then it's a go.
They're not going to make anybody play just to get the date that shouldn't be playing. But it is a huge thing for a CFL team to get that home playoff date.
And the whole concussion thing is interesting too, right? Because if you're a doctor, I've been in situations. Are you good? Yep. And if you want to run tests, let's run tests. Or you do whatever it is that you do now for the testing. It is real hard, borderline impossible, for the medical field to jump behind the eyes of an athlete to really truly know what's happening and how they're feeling. Still in concussion, you are still the majority of the information the doctors have to go on is what's coming out of your mouth. So if I'm a tough son of a biscuit and I have my intent on playing, your doctor asking me questions, yep, 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 yep. And no, I don't have any of these feelings. No, I don't feel that either. But then, so you're green lighted.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Grant. We appreciate it. 780-1290 if you want to weigh in on the big show. Once again, Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets. A game day, Jets and Wild tonight at 7. We know that Alex Stalock will be the goaltender for the Minnesota Wild tonight against the Jets. And we know Nito Niederreiter will draw back into the lineup. Your final predictions for the game tonight, gentlemen.
I just expect to see a real fun, exciting game. Each game that goes by with the Wild and the Jets helps to sort of fortify that territorial rivalry. I expect Brendan Lemieux to help sprinkle a little bit of fun on that to some degree. And ultimately, just want to see the boys go out there and play at the level that they're at right now. Put the D in decent defense and go and have some fun and eventually walk out of there with a win.
I don't know. I just don't really know what to expect. Because every time it feels like the Jets turn a corner, it's the old two steps forward, one step back sort of thing. So, I don't know. I need them to show me before I can definitively say what this team is going to look like game to game. There's a part of me that has a bit of a bad feeling about this one. But you would hope that after 4 points in three games against Columbus and Pittsburgh twice, that there's no letdown against the Wild tonight. And I think they've been given a gift with Alex Stalock starting.
Your attitude really needs some work.
Oh, yeah, do something about it, tough guy.
Let's go. Tarps off. I'd like to see it. It's Halloween.
Should have went as Letterkenny for Halloween.
Should have gone as
Absolutely. Oh, yes. That's the thing to do.
Or Jim Leahy.
No doubt about
Oh.
it.
Oh.
I couldn't find a mink. Fake mink, of course. But I was going to do the red turtleneck and mink coat like Conor McGregor. And you two need to apologize to my big Irish. Anyway, happy Halloween, everybody, on an Industrial Metals Winnipeg Jets game day. Jets and Wild tonight at 7, the afternoon ride with Huss and Rick Ralph from 3 till 6. Kevin Oshesky in the Manitoba Building Trades pregame show at 6. He'll have the Huron Windows postgame show right after as well. And Kevin Oshesky's up next with the latest on the lineup and some audio from Minnesota at 11 a.m. with the Don Vito Roundtable. We'll be back to break it all down with you tomorrow on The Big Show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be safe out there and happy Halloween to everyone. On behalf of Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, and myself, Jim Toth, we thank you for listening, and The Big Show is back tomorrow at 6 on TSN 1290 from the Royal Sports Studio.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki, weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.